This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Secretary of State Colin Powell is in the Middle East today. He's wrapping up now separate meetings with both prime ministers of Israel as well as the Palestinian Authority.
What we are trying to achieve together is the president's goal, viable, independent, sovereign, and democratic Palestine, living in peace and security alongside an Israel that has been fully integrated into the region.
After a private session earlier with Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, Secretary Powell cited, quote, difficult decisions and hard steps ahead. He said a current key moment of opportunity, in his words, in the troubled region must be seized, and he said the two sides must move urgently to end recently renewed violence and implement the new so-called roadmap for Middle East peace. Iran is remaining defiant today toward a call by the United Nations Nuclear Oversight Agency for tougher inspections of its nuclear facilities. The International Atomic Energy Agency's Board of Governors made that call at a meeting in Vienna this week. Iran, though, says the agency must first honor its own commitments to Iran. Middle East correspondent Roxana Saberi has more from Tehran.
Tehran says that in order for it to sign up to stricter inspections, certain international sanctions must be lifted, and it should get outside help with nuclear technology. The U.S. has been leading accusations that Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons, charges Iran denies. The IAEA reprimanded Iran this week for failing to comply with its nuclear obligations. But the agency's statement fell short of the resolution the U.S. had hoped for, which would have condemned Iran's nuclear program. The head of the Iranian Atomic Energy Agency insists the conclusions reached in Vienna prove Iran's nuclear activities are transparent. For its part, Washington is backing the board's report, saying it underlines international opposition to Tehran developing banned weapons. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has accused Iran of having a covert nuclear weapons program. He admits, however, as may turn out to be the case with Iraq, intelligence information on the alleged program is not concrete.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me.
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
A massive wildfire has now burned some 4,000 acres in southern Arizona and destroyed nearly $100 million worth of buildings. The Arizona Daily Star says that the destroyed buildings on private land include cafes, inns, rental cabins, second homes, and full-time residences. The blaze has also forced hundreds of people to evacuate. Convicted rapist and Max Factor heir Andrew Luster is now in prison following his return to California from Mexico yesterday, where he had been on the run. Luster began serving the first day of his 124-year sentence at the Wasco State Prison just north of Bakersfield.
Honey, why are you wallpapering? Hmm? I thought you needed to fix the lawnmower and a bunch of other stuff around here.
This isn't wallpaper. I'm just hanging up my to-do list.
Have a lot on your list? Sears can get you through it more quickly by offering easy access to over 4.5 million parts. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME, click on Sears.com, or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find the right part for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
A new study on the effectiveness of AIDS drugs is warning the unregulated supply in non-industrialized nations could speed up the development of drug-resistant strains of HIV. Those findings are published in the British Medical Journal, and correspondent Suzanne Chislett has details from London.
The study by the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine urges governments and international agencies to deal with this problem now. Using evidence from Africa and Asia, the research shows that uncontrolled prescribing of antiretroviral drugs is widespread and rising. It also found that in some places, patients are changing medication frequently, taking the wrong dose or stopping treatment in periods when they can't afford it. And it's warning that's exactly the set of conditions in which a virus quickly becomes drug resistant. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And also citing public health concerns, McDonald's is asking its meat suppliers now to cut down on the use of antibiotics in their animals. The fast food giant says the overuse of antibiotics in the food supply is reducing their effectiveness in treating human disease. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News. We'll be right back.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and water pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted. I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werbe Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Jalene Jordan off on vacation. Actually, Jalene is in Puerto Rico on a vacation. She loves to go to these hot spots during the summer. I don't get it. That seems to me someplace you'd like to go in, you know, December, January, February. Anyway, she's down there, and she told us before she left, she's there for 3 days, and she bought 4 bathing suits. I mean, is that just kind of a girl thing, Steph? I mean, would you buy 4 bathing suits for 3 days? Okay, I won't repeat it. All right. So, I get one, and then you just wear it till it kind of shreds. Tom Hartman was just doing his show live from the IE America Radio Network studios here in Detroit. And hi, Tom. And Tom said to once again greet everybody that was listening to his show and now listening to the Peter Werbe Show. Hey, call in at 1-800-TALK-YES. We will bounce around the subjects of the day. We have a guest on the half hour each hour. I think you're going to find them pretty interesting. Let me rephrase that. You're going to find them very interesting, although you may want to say, I'll be the judge of that. That's what people, you know, ever have people say that to you? You're going to like this. And I always think, yeah, listen, I'll be the judge of this. But one of the guests is a longtime friend of the broadcast, actually somebody I've known for years from his work with Greenpeace, and that is Harvey Wasserman. And he has a great article. You might want to look at it before he comes on at the half hour this hour. It's published in the Columbus Free Press, and Harvey now is executive editor. And it's called Truth is the Weapon of Bush's Self-Destruction, the Super Force, the Superpower of Peace has the Ultimate Force. So we'll talk with Harvey about that. And it's a good litany, good list of everything that, he listed as our arsenal of truth and what it includes. So we'll talk to Harvey in a little while. Now, Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, they each have a chat room. And this has to be, if you're listening online, if you're listening at one of our wonderful radio affiliates, or if you're listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, Stream 145, Sirius Left, you probably can't do this. But if you're sitting at a computer and you're listening to Tom's show or you're listening to Mike's show, you can talk among yourselves, and I can see it as well if I had a chat room. But I don't. In fact, people have been urging me to do it, and my website, contrary to what you may have heard on this broadcast, is being redesigned so it won't look like a teenager designed it. I don't care. That's not why I'm doing it. I have a wonderful guy that's volunteered to do it, and at some point, I think I said, if he wants his name, full name mentioned, I'll be glad to give him credit because he also does it professionally. And once you see this, you may want to use his services as well. In any event, what we're going to do until this comes up with a chat room, we're going to use the IE America Radio Network chat room. Here's what you do. Just go to ieamericaradio.com. Man, why didn't they get something simple like the Smith Network? You know, wouldn't that be, what is this IE? Never mind. Don't start me. It's Information and Entertainment America, or IE, That Is America. Get it? Get it? I know the guy that that devised this, but in fact, I was sitting in a room, and I said, you know, that's the lamest name for a network. Who the hell ever thought of that? And he weakly said, I did. And I went, oh, well, it's not that bad. In any event, it's our moniker. We're stuck with it. Hey, my name. It's not the best for radio. Werby. You know, I can, or I just say Werby. People are looking up Worthy and Wervy and a million other things. So I guess maybe I shouldn't complain. But if you want to go to my website, it's peterwerby.com, PeterWerbe.com. But for the chat room, go to ieamericaradio.com. Then, and I just had a little experience thinking, there is no chat room here. You have to go to Sitemap, S-I-T-E, Sitemap. And if you go to the left, on the left, where else, it'll say Sitemap. You click on that, then you go down a little, and it says chat. All right? So that'll get you there. Let's see if anybody is, oh, yeah, a few people are actually entering the chat room. Hello, let's see, ER, and hello, Subi, and hello, Cool B. And hello, Hey Duke. Hello, Rock Guy. Hello, Bully. Is it B-U-L-L-I entering the chat room? So you guys can all talk among yourselves. Also, the standard way we've been doing it on this broadcast, call talkyes at yahoo.com. Is there any content to this show? No, not so whatsoever. it's not what it's about. It's just about details. So the big stories, is it that it looks like the Congress may roll back this erosion of diversity in the media, which wasn't much to begin with? Is it Iraq? Is it Iran? Is it North Korea? Is it biotech food that the United States is still trying to shove down the throat of Europeans? Of course not. What's the big story, Steph? Take a guess. Harry Potter. Okay, Harry Potter, that's right. 800-page new book coming out, and a lot of controversy already flying around about it. And why bring it up? Who cares? Kids' book. I never read any of them. I don't have kids. A lot of my friends said, oh, dang, I guess I got to read it to my kids. And then they get hooked on it. Have you read them, Steph? Yeah. Okay. And I saw the movie, which was okay. I mean, it was kind of, you know, I'd go back. They only have one movie, right? Two. All right. Well, I'll go see the other one or get it on DVD now. DVDs, by the way, just surpassed videos in terms of rentals. So remember we thought that was what will replace DVDs? Okay. Content? Peter Werby Show? Zero so far. You can pump it up if you like by calling 1-800-TALK-YES. All right. How many times have you ever heard on this broadcast that I would say far right-wing Christian wackos are correct? How many times on this broadcast would you ever hear this? Yes, these right-wing Christian fanatics, these fundamentalists that are sort of the mirror opposite of these Islamic fundamentalists, who are the mirror opposite of the Jewish fundamentalists, who are the mirror opposites of the Hindu fundamentalists, and on and on and on like that, right? How many times have you ever heard me say they are correct? Well, one of the things that they allege, and this is where the Harry Potter thing is coming from, as far as I'm concerned, is that they say that it is recruiting people to paganism. That when you read, and witchcraft, and when you read Harry Potter, that paganism and witchcraft is presented in such a positive light that it attracts children. And religion is strange stuff, because the way it kind of has this but, you know, particularly when they're new and dynamic and, you know, when they're like a cult. You know what a cult is, right? You know, I have religion. You belong to a sect. They belong to a cult. And every religion, I mean, think about Mormonism. You know that story, don't you? I'm not even going to go through that. Now it's, you know, a respected mainstream religion. Or Christianity itself was a cult. Or any of the rest of them. So, but they have this dynamism that comes about when the old religions are corrupt and too temporal, you know, tied into the real world. I mean, think about the way Protestantism just eroded Catholicism in Europe so quickly. You know, it was the old thing about nothing can stop an idea whose time has come. Well, here's what it says at MSNBC. Paganism, witchcraft on rise in UK. And I would suspect the same thing is the case here in the United States. And as I said, these right-wing Christian wackos are probably correct in thinking that Harry Potter Harry Potter probably has a lot to do with it. I mean, the what is it, 200 million in sales? Here's what this says. Paganism and the ancient art of witchcraft are on the rise in Britain, experts said Thursday, as the summer's most pagan festival approached. We're doing for the solstice tomorrow, right? Television, the internet, environmentalism, and even feminism have all played a role in the resurgence, they say. Soaring pagan numbers have churches worrying and calling for stricter control on cult TV programs and films that celebrate sorcery like Harry Potter, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. So, I mean, yeah, kids, don't get involved. Listen to Uncle Pete here. Do not get involved in these dangerous pagan or witchcraft cults. Join a mainstream religion, like Catholicism, where you'll be safe. Or some of these Christian fundamentalists that that don't grab a hold of your mind in the manner that that witchcraft does. I mean, can you see this? This is ridiculous. All right, let's go to Mark in Kansas City. He wants to talk about paganism. Mark, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
Yeah, I was hearing you comment on how the Harry Potter books were supposedly making paganism rise in Britain and the U.S., and that's a bunch of hogwash.
Why?
Well, I mean, let's think about how many fairy tales that we had when we were kids growing up, and all the magic and elves and whatnot and that. And, you know, it just seems kind of ludicrous to me. I've read the books, and they're just kind of fun stories.
Sure, they are, but they listen, I think paganism is, to me, if I was ever going to become religious, certainly it would be something close to paganism. Not, I'm not criticizing paganism in the slightest.
I'm not either. Have many, many pagan friends.
Yeah, but these are earth religions. The sky gods, once they have a male sky god, we start getting problems. Because then that's reflected on Earth. You have this, you know, this all-powerful male deity, and that's reflected in, you have the all-powerful male ruler. So Bush, God, you know, it's not much of a leap.
Yeah.
Yeah. But listen, I'm just saying that off the top of my head, Mark. I'm saying that I think that when you have a book that sold 200 million and presents witchcraft and paganism positively in the manner that they should be, somebody writes in, don't drink the Kool-Aid, that certainly that's going to, interest is going to arise in it. That
yeah,
it's gonna,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to imply that you were saying that it was causing paganism rise. I was referring to the Christian right-wing fundamentalists.
But here's what I'm saying, Mark. I'm saying that they're right, that they're correct, but that's that's not a bad thing. I'm saying that, I mean, better that they should join their wacky little brand of spiritualism. I mean, if you had a child, would you rather they were a pagan or a far right-wing Christian wacko?
Well, that's not a choice there.
There you go. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Here's Bob in Boulder, Colorado. Bob, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hey, thanks. It's Robin.
Robin, it is. Okay. I see it's Rob.
Yeah,
anyways,
I've been
yeah.
Wiccan for, you know, I came out of fundamentalism and became Wiccan probably 15 years ago.
Okay.
And, I mean, there's really no contrast between the two. I mean, Harry Potter is ritual magic, which is basically Christian-based.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, I've read them all, and I love Harry Potter, but it isn't witchcraft or paganism. It really is more Christian theology than pagan. If you look at it closely.
Okay, I'm not responding because I haven't read the book and don't know how to really parse the difference. So.
Yeah, they use a lot of Latin, of course, which is a magical language to the Catholics, et cetera, et cetera. And, but like, I think you're right. I mean, kids who grow up with tolerance are basically pagan, unless you hate those people who are, you know, different and, you know, the wrong religion or whatever. You know, if your kids are tolerant, they will be pagan. For
sure.
Practical purposes.
Well, it's like I said, you have the mainstream religions that get the okay from those society. They're essentially the official religions, and then you have those awful cults, right? Of course, sometimes the cults become the official religion, as Christianity did in Rome.
Well, cult is a religion with no political power.
There you go. I like that. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll take our break and get back. A couple other callers waiting, wanting to talk about paganism. And I was making the contention, and I didn't say this in a negative manner, that Harry Potter has probably given a positive spin to witchcraft, to paganism, to non-Christian beliefs of spiritualism. And I think that's okay. You've heard me on the show when I say, thank Gaia. I'm not mispronouncing God. Gaia, of course, the Mother Earth. All right, we'll be right back. 1-800-TALK-YES. I'm Peter Werbe.
James Carver here to talk to you about something that's finer than Frogcast, something that really puts the pepper in the gumbo. I'm talking about InPhone, people, a new telephone service that takes 411 and adds a whole lot of giddy-up. Just call 888-411-1111 and you get an operator who will fetch you phone numbers, movie times, driving directions, restaurant reservations. How does that grab you, fella? Let me say that number once more, 888-411-1111. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werbe, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werbe, as we make plans to take back our country.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Gonna win, yeah, we're taking over.
Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors. You're listening to The Peter Werby Show.
1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. The Doors, the reconstituted Doors. Of course, the bad news is Jim Morrison will not be singing lead vocals. Actually, John Densmore will not be doing the drums either. And after, I guess, all the legal hassle they've had from Morrison's family and from John Densmore about using the name The Doors, they're going to be appearing in the Detroit area. They're out on a nationwide tour. So if you're in the area where I live, how come I'm not going? Maybe I'll go. But damn. You do? Come on. Lawn, though, right? I'm getting too old for lawn. I got to be down in the bowl. This is outside at something called, it used to be called Pine Knob. Now it's named after some corporation. Hey, we're talking about Harry Potter. I said that these right-wing Christians are right, that Harry Potter is actually setting a context in which young people, maybe older people as well, are beginning to look upon paganism and witchcraft as positive, which I think is a good thing. But they're right. And I think their brand of so-called conventional religion is much more destructive. All the elements of paganism link us directly to the earth, democratically connected to one another, whereas the sky god religions, they're hierarchical, and then you get that same reflection politically. So they're linked in. That's why, you know, authoritarian governments are always big on religion, like the Bush racket, right? Planet Bush out there past Uranus, right? Here's Tim in Hartford, Connecticut. Tim, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Peter, I have to confess, I actually grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the home of Oral Roberts.
What do you mean at the home?
Well, that's where his home base
oh,
is.
Oh, okay.
I
thought,
university.
You meant, I thought you meant right in his house.
No, no, no. Not in his house, please.
Oh,
please.
God.
But, you know, the bizarreness of the man who held himself hostage until he had $8 million. He wouldn't climb down from his prayer tower. And that was the place where all the other wackos, the Jim and Tammy Faye Bakers and all the other Southern, you know, idiots on cable TV. That's
uh-huh.
where they got their education and start.
Yeah.
Was at Oral Roberts University. And, you know, all the other people doing the bizarre things like kissing rattlesnakes.
Yeah, that's conventional. That's okay.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Don't go near that paganism that you might hold hands out in the woods and pray for the preservation of nature. Now, that's terrible.
Yeah, well,
don't do that. We used
all
to call
you young men, it's a great place to meet girls. Anyway.
Or, yeah, Oral Roberts. We used to call him, is this polite to say, Anal Roberts, actually?
Well,
that's
oh,
his son.
Absolutely. The scandals and stuff that was going on, and they practically owned the city government, of course.
Sure.
So and all that stuff. But I've got another cult following I'm trying to get out of that's, I just got cable TV, and I've been coming addicted to these bizarre Fox and MSNBC. Is there any kind of deprogramming I can go to?
Well, actually, in fact, I'm not sure I have it quite at, close at hand, but there's a group that's calling for cancellation of cable, in fact, all mainstream media subscriptions in order to say no to the conventional media. So this
well,
might be a good time.
Yeah, I just had the worst time, and of course, as soon as they bounce Donahue off and stuff, I finally get cable and stuff, and I've been, this guy Scarborough?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's the guy in which an intern died right in his office. Not like, you know, how soon we forget? Gary Condit, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man, I mean, good,
yeah.
You know, you talk about, you know, trying to imitate Fox for I don't know what reason, whatever, the bashing of Garofalo every week he's
still?
Apparently going to be attacking Jeannie because of her stances against the war. This
still?
Speech.
He's still doing it?
Apparently well. She was at a new program the last couple of days.
Well, here's what I suggest, Tim.
Yeah.
Deliver them the cruelest blow of all.
What's that?
Ignore them.
Maybe listen to Mike at night.
There you go. Thanks,
okay.
Tim.
Take care, Peter.
I appreciate it. Well, gee, what a great idea I had. Announce that IE America has a chat room, and then many of you would link on to it. Here's what you got to do, and people are, hey, come on, guys, be nice now. Be nice. It's IEAmericaRadio.com. IEAmericaRadio.com. Got to go over to the left. It says sitemap, and then you'll see where it says chat. All right. Check that out, and we can have our chat room. Get a couple of you when we come back. We've got Harvey Wasserman. We've got Jim Hightower. I'm getting prompted for this. And I'm Peter Werby, 1-800-TALK-YES.
Daddy, can't we read a different book tonight?
Shh. We're just getting to the good part. To set the correct throttle position, loosen the pinch bolt to rotate the governor arm.
Have a passion for fixing things? Sears has over 4.5 million parts for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME. Click on Sears.com or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find parts for all major brands, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. The Senate Commerce Committee voted yesterday to partially reverse a move by the FCC to deregulate the media industry. The Federal Communications Commission voted on June 2nd to relax rules governing media ownership, paving the way to a wave of media consolidation. But Congress could move to reverse the rule changes, though many critics worry that if House Republicans block such a move, the trend towards media monopoly will continue.
This could be very big in that the trend is going to be for corporations to try to own as many TV stations and the newspaper in a given market.
Wayne Countryman is a copy editor with the Baltimore Sun. His union is in a tough contract battle with the Tribune Company, a media conglomerate that Countryman fears is hoping to benefit from deregulation.
That means there'll be fewer reporters covering meetings, fewer editors working on their stories. So not only does that mean that there'll be fewer jobs in the long run, but also fewer people covering the news, fewer viewpoints?
Should the FCC's rule changes remain in effect, newspaper corporations like Tribune could, for the first time, purchase television stations and vice versa.
Germany's largest labor union is expanding a two-week low-level strike in the eastern part of the country. Manufacturing and engineering workers there, represented by IG Metall, say they're forced to work 38-hour weeks for the same amount of pay that their West German counterparts get for only working 35 hours. Until recently, the strike was confined to just one eastern state, but has now expanded to three, hitting factories in Berlin especially hard. An estimated 11,000 people are now walking picket lines, but no talks have been scheduled between the union and the consortium of companies who typically negotiate industry-wide contracts.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
All right, thank you very much. We're talking about Harry Potter. Does it encourage paganism? I say yes, it does, and I say there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We're going to take one more call, then do Jim Hightower, and then go to our guest. We'll try to get to your calls as well for those of you on hold. This is Freddie from Woodstock, New York. Freddie, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Doing good.
I think, you know, with all this talk of Harry Potter and all this, we have to remember what the most dangerous cult in our country is today, and that's the one that has influence on the White House.
Sure.
That, of course, are the fundamental Christians, and their prime danger is that they're all looking for Armageddon. They want to end this world.
Some of them certainly are right out there. They're trying to clone the red calf because genetically created because that's part of their eschatology. Is that what you call it?
Yep.
Their end days.
Eschatology is word, yeah.
Yeah, their end days philosophy, and they're dangerous because on one hand, the reason they have the influence is because their political stance is something that supports the Bushies, but it's not just opportunistic. In other words, they're not just their political base that they're using and manipulating. Many of them in the Bush government actually are captured by that philosophy of end days that comes around every once in a while when things get weird and seem to have no purpose. It's part of a mass hysteria, and it's happened before.
Absolutely.
But you know what? It's never reached the upper echelons of government.
I was just going to say that this is the first time that it's ever gotten to that level in government, that level of influence in the country. It's always been kind of like a fringe, and everybody took it half seriously.
Yeah, the world was going to end, and now, who knows?
Well, they're pushing for it. You know, I've spoken to fundamentalist Christians and asked them what they thought about nuclear war, and they're looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's good.
As bizarre as that seems.
That's good. How interesting. What nice people. Thank you, Freddie.
All right.
All right, I appreciate it. Right now, we want to do Jim Hightower. Jim Hightower is America's favorite populist and a regular feature on The Peter Werbe Show.
Boy, we're really teaching those high-flying, finagling CEOs a lesson in corporate ethics, aren't we? The latest to have to take their medicine are 6 former top execs at Xerox Corporation. They were recently found by the SEC to have cooked the company books and illegally inflated profits by $1.4 billion over 4 years. These actions fraudulently misled investors and allowed the executives themselves to pocket millions in personal pay that they were not due. But pow! The SEC regulators have now socked the slippery-fingered 6 with $22 million in penalties. That'll teach them, right? Well, not exactly. It seems that under the sweetheart bylaws of the corporation, $19 million of this legal assessment will be picked up not by the executives, but by Xerox and its insurance companies. Plus, Xerox will pay the legal fees for the 6. So it's you shareholders of Xerox and you ratepayers of the insurers who will pick up the bulk of the tab for these dirty-dealing executives, and ultimately, we taxpayers will be hit for it, since Xerox can deduct a chunk of this payout from its corporate income tax, claiming it as a cost of doing business. So what are the lessons here for other CEOs and for our children? Crime pays. Paul Allaire, for example, was the Xerox CEO who presided over this shameful ripoff, and he has to pay $1 million fine out of his own pocket. That sounds like a serious bit of punishment until you do the math. The SEC found that he had put $5.7 million worth of fraudulent gain in that pocket during the 4-year scam. So his haul is a nice net of $4.7 million. The lawyer for Allaire and another Xerox executive said that the two chieftains had settled so they could, quote, put this issue behind them and get on with their lives. This is Jim Hightower saying, in the world of corporate crime, instead of being sentenced to a hard jail bed, you get a golden pillow. So much for reforming corporate ethics.
Thank you very much, Jim Hightower. Jim Hightower, America's favorite populist. You go to jimhightower.com. And right now, let's go to Harvey Wasserman, our old friend. Hi, Harvey.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great. Harvey Wasserman is senior editor of the Columbus Free Press. You can go to freepress.org. He's also the author of The Last Energy War, available from 7 Stories Press, and a good piece of writing today in commondreams.org. Truth is the weapon of Bush's self-destruction. The superforce of peace has the ultimate force. Well, I was attracted to that title immediately, but Harvey, I almost think that we always think that there's even a little phrase is that the correct and truthful way will always overcome. Sometimes I worry though.
Well, it's worth worrying about when you have a corporate media that doesn't tell the truth and doesn't seem to care. I mean, what's really bothersome is when the truth does come out. And it's totally outrageous and impeachable and all that stuff, and nothing happens. I mean, the whole world knows now that Bush lied about Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction, and it's definitely an impeachable offense. I mean, he lied in the State of the Union. He lied to Congress. He used it as a pretext to send troops over there to kill several thousand Iraqis, and I guess we're over 200 American dead now as
sure.
The toll seems to rise daily. So, but you know, ultimately you have to have faith. I mean, the piece on which is on the Common Dreams and FreePress.org website starts with a quote from the Dalai Lama saying basically that people ultimately will demand peace, truth, and justice, and we just have to keep demanding. That's the point of the piece, I guess.
Well, a very interesting article, let me see, was Wednesday. Republicans dismiss questions over evidence on banned weapons in Iraq, and one senior member, you always wonder who this is. One, you'd know the name. One senior member of the president's national security team who was deeply involved in making the case against Mr. Hussein said he believed that weapons would ultimately be found. I mean, that's kind of their mantra. But he says, even if little is ultimately discovered, and here is the most important several words and a clear picture of where these people are coming from, this rat's nest in Washington, the official said, I think we can ride this out.
Yeah, well, if you have ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN, MSNBC all lined up behind you, then you can ride out pretty much anything. I mean, they went to war over Bill Clinton's marital indiscretions and went all the way to impeach him, for God's sakes. And here we have George W. Bush, the draft-dodging chicken hawk, playing Tom Cruise on an aircraft carrier when they know the whole thing was founded on a lie. I mean, we even have one of the things that I did in this piece, as you know, Peter, is the list of, I don't know, about 30 of the major lies that the Bush administration has told. And today in the New York Times, Nicholas Kristof is finally getting at the story that was fabricated about Jessica Lynch, the private who was allegedly rescued in a daring raid by American troops when, in fact, her life was saved by Iraqi medics, and she was never in a firefight in which she fired weapons herself, was not wounded, except in a car crash, apparently. And, her life was saved by local Iraqis who willingly and gladly turned her over to the American troops when they came and knocked on the door of the hospital. I mean, this is the level of madness that's coming out of Washington. And even today I read, that Bush has made a big deal of fighting AIDS in Africa. And I guess he set aside $15 billion or something like that. But all it's going for is abstinence programs.
Really?
I mean, they're funding church groups to go into Africa and preach abstinence. That's really going to go over big.
Well, I think partly, of course, they're going to buy pharmaceuticals from his pals in the pharmaceutical industry that pay tens of millions of dollars and expect to get hundreds of millions of dollars back from from their investment.
Yeah, that too. Pharmaceuticals are really one of Bush's biggest backers. And they're just really reaping in the bucks with this guy. What we have actually is something unprecedented. We have an alliance between the big corporations and the fundamentalist right. And, the fundamentalists operate on the grassroots and whip the people into furies in their basic churches. And then the corporations fund it all. And, you've got the government reduced to basically three functions, which is funding their military for overseas conquests, subsidizing the corporations that give them donations, and crushing the opposition at home. I mean, that's about all Sherman is designed to do under the Bush administration.
I'm going to talk about this a little later, but you're an editor of the Columbus Free Press, but would you allow particularly in a mainstream major paper like the New York Times, to use the phrase "reaching out," let alone to begin a sentence? Well, that's what the Randall Archibald article for 2004 convention GOP, that's the greedy oil party, folks, raises $91 million in a hurry, reaching out to some of New York's highest profile millionaires and billionaires. They came up with $60 million overnight, almost from wealthy residents and corporate chiefs, with 15 months left to go before the opening gravel strikes. And does anybody believe this is because these men have interest in good government?
Well, I mean, they have their own definition of good government. Good government is what turns over taxpayer dollars to corporations that make campaign finance donations. I mean, that's how it works. I mean, this is the most corrupt government we've ever had, most corrupt administration. People are comparing it to the McCarthy era, but really the McCarthy era was very, very small potatoes. I mean, you had this one lunatic senator from Wisconsin raising a fuss about alleged communists, but you had someone sane in the White House. The houses of Congress were Democrat controlled, and you had a judiciary that actually took seriously the Bill of Rights. We have now a Republican control of the judiciary, Republican control of both houses of Congress, and the executive branch and the media. So we've really got our work cut out for us to turn this tide. It's the most authoritarian and really the closest to a dictatorship that the United States has ever had.
Harvey Wasserman's my guest on the Peter Werbe Show. His article at commondreams.org is called Truth is the Weapon of Bush's Self-Destruction. We have a caller from your hometown of Columbus. Carlos, he's not like your arch enemy or anything, is he?
Don't know. We'll find out.
Okay. Carlos, hi. It's Peter Werbe and Harvey Wasserman. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yeah, actually, Harvey owes me some money. No, I'm kidding. He doesn't owe me any money. I just wanted to give a call and give a shout-out to him. He's a very good writer, and I want to encourage everyone to read the Columbus Free Press. It's a great publication. And actually, I met Harvey at the Howard Zinn lecture.
Oh, yeah. Howard Zinn spoke here not long ago. He's a great speaker and a great man.
Oh, he's really cool. He's really fun. He's, you know, very eloquent. And, yeah, you were there with your daughters, and we just talked for a second.
Yes,
I went
to get
my book signed and all that. And, well, you know, I just want to tell you, man, you do a great job. There's not that many people here in Columbus that are, you know, speaking out or writing or even thinking like that. So,
well, it seems to be a nationwide problem.
Well, thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, Carlos. It seems to be a nationwide problem. The American public has kind of been lulled. I think, you know, the educational system has been pretty much trashed, and the media is just a joke. I mean, I worked out this morning at the health club and watched CNN and some of the other news stations. It's just, you know, pathetic. There's just nothing on. But hopefully people will get aroused at some point. And, you know, hopefully also the natural powers that be for some kind of planetary balance will work in our favor. But we really got to work it out for us. And the point of the piece today on Common Dreams and the freepress.org is that we really have to just keep at it, keep reciting what the lies these guys are telling, keep informing our neighbors and friends. And you know, we do have Dennis Kucinich running for president, who I think speaks very, very well and really gets has no fear of getting right to the truth. We have Howard Dean, who's a little more moderate. But we also really need to just have our own resources and not depend on the Democratic Party, for God's sakes, and elected leaders, but just keep fighting ourselves and making sure that the word gets out.
Well, yeah, I always say the party of opposition is the people, and the people in the streets very often are the people creating counter-institutions. And, you know, that bumper sticker, another one of those cliches, but it's true. It's the people will lead, the leaders will follow.
Right. Well, this is really an aberration, this junta in Washington. I mean, they're unelected. They came in on the lie of compassionate conservatism, which is really a joke. They got handed, you know, the September 11th nightmare from the terrorists, which has given them the perfect excuse to go around and bust everybody and set up a real police state apparatus. And it's really a testing time for people who believe in democracy and mm-hmm. believe in justice.
Harvey Wasserman, let's go back to you watching CNN. You're kind of trapped if, you know, you're probably, what, on an exercise bike?
Yeah, one of those exercise bikes, you know.
Here is, you know, I think people think I'm a little quaint or a little idiosyncratic that I say I never watch television. I have to prepare for this broadcast, and it takes me hours. And in many ways, almost all of my intellectual activity throughout the week and, you know, is aimed towards this. If I thought for a minute that I could learn a substantive material through watching the conservative news network or Foxhole News or, you know, or something like that, I would be glued to it. It's empty. It's not about information. It's about a message.
Yeah, there's no there. I mean, the lead story on all the networks that I could, as far as I could perceive, was that Jennifer Aniston now heads the list of most famous, you know, celebrities in the United States. And then she made $35 million last year.
Really?
And this is really crucial to governance of our society in this country. And there's no cover of environmental disasters, of what's going on with civil rights and civil liberties, little scant surface stuff about the Middle East. They do report that, you know, the daily casualty toll in Iraq, but that'll probably stop. They certainly have stopped covering Afghanistan, which is a complete sinkhole.
Jennifer Aniston, yeah, am I that out of it? Was she a movie star?
She was. I thought you were one of the, you used to go out with her, Peter.
Maybe I did. She changed her name.
She's a TV star. I know because I have teenage daughters, so we're forced to watch Friends from time to time. But
hey, let me do this. Actually, we got only just about a minute left, but I want to get David from San Francisco on with you. David, unfortunately, got to ask a question real quickly and let Harvey answer it real quickly.
Oh, yeah, no trouble. I was just a real quick one that, you know, as everyone's despairing, I have been pushing this idea that with all of the different problems that we've got, we have a great opportunity here to ask, what else are they lying about? And it allows us to raise virtually every social, economic, spending issue that comes in the whole line. What else are they lying about?
All right, that's 30 seconds. Well, thank you, David.
You know how you can tell when George Bush is lying is when his lips are moving.
That's right.
So they're lying about everything. And the economy is a disaster. The tax cut was not about an economic stimulus package. They just killed Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid by defunding the whole government, basically. This is the most thoroughly dishonest and dishonorable administration that the country has ever seen. And it's not so much, you just have to presume they're lying about everything. The question is, what can we construct to push them back out of power?
Absolutely.
That's going to be a major challenge. We have to be clear on what we want and how we're going to get it, starting with environmental sanctity and social justice and an end to war. All these things are still with us, and we've got to work for them.
And we, that's you and me, dear listeners, because the people in power, they don't seem to be doing a damn thing about it. Harvey Wasserman, thanks for joining me.
Anytime, Peter. Keep up the great work.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. And you can go to freepress.org to see Harvey's articles or commondreams.org. Right back.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Prepare
to be astonished.
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens, Good Day, from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time. Followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 2 p.m. Then the Peter Wirby Show turns up the heat a little bit from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7. Followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
Peter Wirby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Michael Stipen, REM, from Athens, Georgia, I think. Yeah. And is REM still together, Steph? Yeah, they are? Okay, I mean, didn't they were having problems and all that, but I guess they're still doing it. A lot of bands break up, don't they? Wasn't there one called the Beatles? Yeah, I guess they broke up. Earlier in the broadcast, we were talking about the release of the brand new 800-page Harry Potter novel that's coming out today, and the Christians are going absolutely bonkers. They're saying this is more to warp the minds of our children into having them accept paganism and witchcraft. Instead, of course, they want them to involve themselves in these mainstream religions, which we know there's absolutely no problems with, right? Like Catholicism or something, or Southern Baptists or what have you. Now, I said I thought they were right in that when you have 200 million people reading a novel that that puts forth paganism and witchcraft, and there was some debate as to whether there was actually paganism in Harry Potter, but more just witchcraft and all that. But whatever, that it puts it forth positively, that these are earth-centered religion, that these are that these powers are used to do good. Now, within, you know, the Christian view, there's a devil as well. So, you know, you don't want to get into black magic. You don't want to get into bad stuff. But overwhelmingly, particularly in paganism, it's a reflection of the spirituality that explained the world and its processes to people for millennia. You know, before these sky gods took over. Before we decided that God was no longer in tree trunks and rivers and what have you. That instead it was this punitive God that lives in the sky, and we all better pray down to, or we're going to get some eternal punishment. And what happens when you desacralize nature? You take away its sacredness. Well, you know, trees are no longer sacred groves, are they? You know what they are? Timber. Rivers no longer contain the water gods. They're just something where you dump your waste into. And on like that. So there's been serious consequences. I mean, I know some pretty good Christians. I mean, one of the best in this town, Detroit, is Auxiliary Bishop of Detroit, Tom Gumbleton. Ed Rowe, the head minister of, the hell is it, downtown? Yeah, Central Methodist Church. These are wonderful people. But, you know, they're taking the best out of Christianity. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We got lots of stuff to talk about. The medium, it's no longer the media, of course. Single voice of power, the medium, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the racket, how George W. Bush, Planet Bush, has racketized this entire system. Planet Bush, that's somewhere out past Uranus, right? All right, Peter Werby with you, 1-800-TALK-YES. Stay with us.
You've been listening to The Peter Wirby Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
The Peter Wirby Morning Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick-tick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. At least one person was killed. Three were wounded today in a Palestinian ambush of an Israeli car in the West Bank. A spokesman said two of the wounded were Americans who arrived in Israel yesterday to visit relatives. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Colin Powell, speaking from the Mideast, said Hamas is an enemy of peace. Hamas senior leader Abdel Aziz al-Rantisi responded by saying Colin Powell proved he is a slave to the Zionists, a liar, and a hypocrite. Iran is remaining defiant toward a call by the United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Agency for tougher inspections.
Tehran says that in order for it to sign up to stricter inspections, certain international sanctions must be lifted, and it should get outside help with nuclear technology. The U.S. has been leading accusations that Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons, charges Iran denies. The IAEA reprimanded Iran this week for failing to comply with its nuclear obligations, but the agency's statement fell short of the resolution the U.S. had hoped for, which would have condemned Iran's nuclear program. The head of the Iranian Atomic Energy Agency insists the conclusions reached in Vienna prove Iran's nuclear activities are transparent. For its part, Washington is backing the board's report, saying it underlines international opposition to Tehran developing banned weapons. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
The White House is in hot water for rewriting a report on global warming.
The report no longer accurately represents the scientific consensus on climate change. That's according to an internal staff memo at the Environmental Protection Agency, which termed the edited document an embarrassment. An EPA spokesman tried to calm the situation, saying the changes were made because there remains no clear consensus on the science and conclusions on global warming. Environmental campaigners accused the White House of trying to recast scientific findings on crucial issues to meet their political agenda. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
More in a moment.
They left their farms and factories, their offices and classrooms. 16 million Americans in uniform. 400,000 gave their lives for freedom. For the first time, young women eagerly entered the workforce to supply the arsenal the world depended on for victory. But this was no faceless mass that went to war. They were my relatives and yours, our fathers and mothers, our grandparents and next-door neighbors. They were our family's heroes. And yet, unbelievably, there's no national monument anywhere to honor the amazing generation that won World War II. I'm Tom Hanks. Please help build the National World War II Memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-639-4WW2. That's 1-800-639-4992. It's time to say thank you.
A public service message from the American Battle Monuments Commission, the Ad Council, and this station.
Citing public health concerns, McDonald's will ask its meat suppliers to reduce the use of antibiotics in their animals. The fast food giant claims the overuse of antibiotics in the food supply is reducing their effectiveness in treating people. The company expects its suppliers to phase out the use of antibiotics that help animals grow faster and to cut back on other antibiotics that protect animals against disease. More news after this.
You don't want to be late for your golf lesson, or else you'll never learn how to outdrive your girlfriend. So you probably want to make something quick for dinner. Think fast, think eggs. Like poached eggs over French bread topped with your favorite chunky salsa. They're delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So you make it on time, the pro adjusts your grip, and now you're driving the ball 250 yards. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast, think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
The Senate is backing a limited program to allow importation of certain drugs from Canada. It's an amendment to a larger drug benefit bill. It's also a scaled-back version of earlier drug proposals that died because of safety concerns. The new Harry Potter book goes on sale at midnight tonight.
Brian Adams, an 11-year-old Harry Potter fan from Fredericksburg, Virginia, says he probably will read Order of the Phoenix in one day. Adams has closely followed the adventures of the young wizard through four books now. He suspects the new volume is loaded with suspense and action.
Because Harry just got in a huge fight with Voldemort, and he's probably going to get into another one, like, and something really, really bad is going to happen.
Adams says Harry Potter continues to capture the imagination of kids his age.
Yeah, most of my friends are into Harry Potter. A few aren't, but most of them are.
Adams says the Potter books have interested him in reading generally. Don Dornberg reporting.
I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Out of sight, out of mind is dangerous advice when it comes to radiator hoses. After just 4 years of use, they're 100 times more likely to fail. When we come back, I'll tell you the signs.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
What you can't see can hurt you when it comes to radiator hoses. Hoses deteriorate due to chemical reactions between rubber and your car's fluids, like oil and coolant. Heat, age, and pollution also take their toll, causing tiny cracks that split, blister, or leak. To identify a defective hose, look at it. Is it scuffed, swollen, cracked? Now touch. Is it soft, gooey, spongy? These are sure signs. But even if hoses look and feel okay, internal deterioration, hidden from view, may spell danger. Be on the safe side. Replace hoses every 4 years. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and let's get down to the important issue of the day. Americans killing more Iraqis in that occupied country. Iraqis killing more Americans. Federal Communications Commission may be overturned, may be overruled by Congress. None of that. Who cares about that? Harry Potter is what we want to talk about, because the Harry Potter, the 800-page book, is going to be released, interestingly, at midnight tonight, the witching hour, right? And we were talking about this article. It's at MSNBC.com that says paganism and witchcraft is on the rise. And I made the remark that I think for once the right-wing Christian wackos are correct, that Harry Potter and the books and the positive representation of non-Christian spirituality, I'm sure, I mean, I don't know, I don't have any statistics. It just makes common sense that it would plant in people's minds that there is something more to spiritual looks at the world or spiritual interpretations of the world than the one we are told we have to accept, right? That of Christianity, Judaism, Islam. I don't want to say that too loud. Islam, right? Okay. Hinduism, whatever. All, you know, those are the religions that are not crazy, right? Those are the ones that are respectable. Those are the ones that are acceptable. Of course, a lot of them have a pretty bad record, don't they? Paganism does not have a bad record at all. In fact, paganism was exterminated everywhere that it existed. These were the nature religions. These were the religions that were democratic. Everybody related to one another is equal. In fact, if you want to kind of present it schematically, paganism and the view of the world would be a circle in which everybody and every being and every object holds hands. Everybody and everything is interconnected in this web of life. This is what paganism is all about, and that's what's attraction to me. I mean, I can't really bring it to myself to go out and do the actual woo-woo, as we call it, but the philosophy behind it is something that is appealing to me. Somehow or other, that circle is cleaved, and in its place, you have a pyramid. Literally a pyramid, and also that schematic of a pyramid. At the top is the ruler, whether on earth or in heaven. Gods, plural, leave earth and leap to the sky. They're always single male gods that rule punitively. Well, you could imagine in this contest how people, and particularly young people who still have a bit of their idealism intact, might find paganism and the empowerment also of children with powers, right, to be attractive. So I'm saying, I think, yeah, Harry Potter probably does encourage witchcraft and paganism. And I think by Gaia, that's a good thing. Now, Ron doesn't agree with me. He wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He says he's read all three Harry Potter novels. This is the fourth coming up. And I'd like to tell those idiots, Ron, you're talking about me, who think the Harry Potter phenomena promotes paganism or witchcraft, that while there are real people in the real world who do call themselves paganists or Wiccans, they have no similarity whatsoever to anything in the Harry Potter novels. Those novels have no connection to the real world at all. They're pure fantasy, yada, yada. The Harry Potter novels are pure imagination. Ron, you're being a little too rigid on this. I'm not saying that someone reads it and says, oh, I will become just like this. I'm saying that the context for this, what's permissible within people's minds and within a society, is expanded with this mass phenomenon of Harry Potter novels. So rather than paganism seeing as something evil, rather than Wiccan, witchcraft, being seen as the sign of the devil, it's presented as something positive. Here's our Christian brethren at work in the Southern Baptist Convention in meeting in Arizona. They have denounced same-sex marriage and homosexuality at its annual meeting. Hey, get over it, guys. Will you just get over it? Let me try one of my big ones. Get over it! Okay, you know, but they still want to poke their nose into other people's business because they don't want to take care of their own business. So they start butting into other people's business. And they were asking members to help gays become heterosexual through Christian faith. I mean, this is so, so patronizing, I guess you'd say. Gay rights groups said the initiative promoted hatred. Sure it does. The convention, the nation's largest Protestant denomination, also spent much of the gathering defending the right of evangelicals to proclaim their religion as the only path to salvation. Okay. Later for those cats, right? Let's talk to some of you cats. Hey, this is Billy, big cat from Santa Cruz, California. How you doing? It's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES.
Werby, you just don't get it.
What's that?
It's about American values.
There you go.
You know, the Catholics, they have values. The leadership of the Catholic Church, they know how to conspire to aid and abet child molesters. They know how to be bigots and teach you how to hate homosexuals. You need to help Jews get to be Christians. Help homosexuals get to be Christians. I mean, this is about values. You know, it's about being able to, you know, hit somebody and keep driving, you know, hit and run. That's what the American bishops will teach about values.
You're being facetious.
Why isn't this clear that if the Christians would go away, everything in America would be better? First of all, they're the ones who vote for Bush. They're the ones who Bush just paid off with his faith-based initiative. They're the ones who keep telling me that every founder, it's a lie, of course, of America was a Christian, so we must be a Christian country.
Yep.
But they're never the ones that say, hey, you know, these Wiccans, all right, every now and then maybe a cult will take a baby or two, but people die by the millions when you get Christians, Muslims, and Jews involved.
Yep.
These people are just, they're exactly what's wrong with America. And the problem I have, of course, is that I'm now, talk about arrogant. I am so arrogant when I hear somebody mention the word God, because even the people who don't use it badly or you know don't get that they can't use that word for it anymore. That to use that word at all makes people think that under God is concrete. It has to be in the Pledge of Allegiance. The Pledge of Allegiance doesn't work without it. Well, it worked for 100 years without it.
Yeah, it's interesting that a socialist Christian minister, what was his name, though? Bellamy, can't think of his first name, but who wrote it in the 1890s, he could have put under God in there. He was a man of the cloth, and he elected not to. It was just the right-wing wackos in the McCarthy era, the 1950s, that inserted that because, you know, Billy, that was put in there because we didn't want anyone to suspect that we had any similarity to the godless communists.
Well, you know, the same year that we decided to fight communism, we also let black people actually sit next to us in school.
Yeah, that was nice.
So, you know, we had to, like, make sure that you know, we got right with God. I just tell you, I don't think that we have a way out now to save America from the direction it's going in. I am ready to give up.
Well, I'll tell you. Let me just I'll get back into a comment with what you said. First, as always, when we've had these conversations, I want to defend, on one hand, all the religious people I know. And I don't know any right-wing Christians. Every Christian I know is a liberal Christian or a leftist Christian. And I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I was mentioning some of the religious figures here in Detroit.
You mean the nice people who keep to themselves and their piety, they don't show and push it on others. Those nice Christians.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And many of them are wonderful men. And there's this whole group of Mary Knoll nuns from down Monroe, Michigan, the home of General George Custer and Fermi 2 nuclear power plant. But they're good people.
You mean like they're not like the American bishops? They don't support child molesters. They don't hit and run. They're not arrogant and refuse to admit when they're wrong.
Yeah, you're right. But you know what? And many of you out there listening are religious, but I have to sadly agree, and I say sadly only with you, Billy, only because of so many decent religious Christians and Jews and Muslims that I know, Buddhists, that probably if we erased all of the world's religions and certainly all the world's governments and began again with what we have learned, I think that we'd probably all be a lot better off.
Well, one thing we wouldn't do is start to have places like Iran, Israel, Ireland, where you have official religions. Nobody would choose that isn't insane to mix government and religion. And, you know, your point about the Wiccans being about a centrality, how we're all connected, you know, we really are. I mean, for those of you who aren't stupid enough to believe that God created the earth in 7 days, we are all made of exactly the same stuff. We're all sharing the same original atoms from the Big Bang. Mm-hmm. Nothing goes away. Nothing gets made. It's all us.
Okay, wait a minute. Here we go. You can answer this. Here's Dan in Long Island, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I write into you all the time to support much of what you talk about, but I'm very offended at your attack on Catholics today and also that loudmouth Billy's prejudice against them, too. I'm a Catholic. I'm also liberal, a Democrat, a progressive. I support everything the Catholic Church says? No, I don't. But don't be making fun of and attacking people for their faith. Also, don't lump all Catholics in with these psycho Christians who bomb abortion clinics. Most Catholics are good people who are not extremists and who are for all the good things that this country can be.
Well, my response is simple, that of course there are these, as you point out, good Christians. There's millions of them. But the fact is that they are not controlling the leadership of the people who are allowed to get out there and say, let's kill abortion practitioners. You know, as long as the Catholics were behind this witch doctor, this chimpanzee of a president of ours with his banning of science.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not interested in anything a Catholic has to say until they do something about keeping medicine from me. They are not allowed to tell me I have to have Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or diabetes. These people are cretins.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the other thing is that Dan and others, and I never bring this up to particularly my Catholic friends, that the church has an awful history, that it has been on the wrong side of most things since Augustine cut a deal with the Roman Empire.
Whenever the church and a scientist disagree, the church has lost 100% of the time. Oh, actually, first the scientist loses because they, like, kill him or stretch him or ostracize him. But it ultimately, after he's dead, they find out, oh, he was right, church was wrong. What a shock.
Yeah. So I don't know what to say. I mean, Dan, I guess, and others, if we're offending you, I don't let me put another. If I'm offending you, I'm sorry about that. But I've never been religious. My family's never been religious, and I do tend to see mostly the bad things that religion has done throughout the ages and continues to do everywhere in the world today. For those good religious people that actually take serious the ambiguous, I would emphasize this, the ambiguous messages in all religious books for peace and justice and what have you. I say, good for you. Keep it up. But
and I would say that, of course, I'm aware of the fact that there are people who their Christianity doesn't turn them into crazy nationalists or homosexual haters or people who want to fix Jews. I'm aware of that. But the other thing that is true for Christians or anybody else, if you believe in God, you do not understand how the universe really works. Your opinions about social structures are worthless if you build it on that basis. Sorry, folks, there's no such thing as God. Grow up. You can't have some, baby school answer because you don't understand the universe.
Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. I don't know if everybody in America, in fact, with IEAmericaRadio.com across the world agrees with that, but I'd like to hear from you. 1-800-TALK-YES or call TALK-YES at yahoo.com. Or you can go to IEAmericaRadio.com. That's IEAmericaRadio.com. That's where you can listen online streaming. If you go over to Sitemap, then you can go to our chat room as well. I'm Peter Werbe at 1-800-TALK-YES, and I'll be right back.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Hi, this is Peter Werbe from the IE America Radio Network. Wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture, has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
Show.
I think we've got somebody that might have the final word on all of this. It's Bob from Fargo, Alabama.
And we've got a full-scale fascism plan for America. We've got enough power now that we fascists are not afraid to come out of the closet. We openly love fascism because it's okay to have unlimited corporate welfare, but it's not okay to have any public welfare. Do you know why?
Why?
Why, Bob?
You don't ask me why. You don't talk back to me. Because I'm head of corporate dads in America. And you don't talk back to me because I'm going to be taking care of you on the New World Order slave plantation. Because I'm your big brother, corporate dad.
Well, all right, Bob. I always like to give conservatives a fair shot.
Especially really angry ones.
Yes.
The Peter Werbe Show. Weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffens Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at IEAmericaRadio.com.
Back to the show. It's Peter Werby. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Yeah, Jalene Jordan off for the next several days. I think she won't be back till next Thursday, unfortunately. Down in Puerto Rico with her four bathing suits. Who needs four bathing suits to go on vacation? Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah. One of the cardinal rules, what do they tell you about talk shows? There's two things never to talk about. One is religion. You start stepping on toes. So I think certainly Billy from Santa Cruz stepped on a lot of toes, and I think I may have as well. So I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, and I think, you know, you can tell me any belief I hold is absolutely patently absurd that, you know, and I think I ought to be able to do the same to you, and I haven't even said that. I mean, I think Billy did. I'm trying to be a little nicer. You know, I don't have any religious explanations for anything in the world whatsoever. So, but that doesn't. If you have them and you're a good person, I think that's what counts through it all. Here's Gus from Alabama. Gus, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome. Hey, Gus, you with me? Yeah, hi. You're on the air.
Yes, I just thought that you might think about the fact that if Christians and Muslims practice their religion rather than trying to control other people's lives, the whole world would be a whole lot better place. And I know you're saying about Wiccan. But Christianity nor Islam, from what I've read, teaches anything about killing your brother to converting.
No, no. Although both of those books are kind of, particularly the Bible, just filled with violence and God ordering whole cities to be wiped out and what have you. That's the Old Testament. Well, I don't know what happened to Gus, but maybe Gus got on the bus. Here's Mark and let me see if I can do this. Can I? Yes, it's Mark in Santa Fe. Listen to KTRC. Mark, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hey, Peter, you're doing fine without Jalene.
Well, Jalene wouldn't like to hear that, but go ahead.
No, I mean. You know, I was worried that Billy was starting to morph into Bob from Fargo. There I was starting to get the two of them confused. I might get the wrath of Billy against me, but here goes.
Yeah,
Billy,
go ahead.
I'm way over here in Santa Fe, so I'm not worried. The fundamentalist Christians who will stand there and point their finger to the sky and say, I am absolutely sure that, you know, God exists and that I know God and that everything that blah, blah, blah. I am absolutely certain. They're just as bad as the atheist who will stand there and point at the sky and say, I am absolutely certain that there is no intelligent force in the universe that created all this. I mean, the two of them are in bed together. Sorry, Billy. The two of those are in bed together. I want to bring something up called mysticism that I don't think you've touched on. I guess I think I've heard the whole show.
Just let me interrupt one second.
Sure.
There is an old Zen story where some young monk who's getting instruction goes, these older monks hear this beating at the door, the gates of the monastery, and they open it up, and it's this young monk, and he says, Master, Master, he says, I haven't slept in days. I must know the meaning of life. And the master takes his staff, whacks the young student in the head, and says, there, that'll give you something serious to think about. Go ahead.
Tell right. Well, I mean, yeah, and that kind of parallels what I'm saying about the mystics. There's a mystic sect of each religion, Hindus, Christians. I mean, I was raised Catholic up there in Detroit where you are. I thank God I'm not there anymore. Sorry. Each religion has their own mysticism, and that is
kind
of a breakaway.
You probably lived in Southgate, that's why.
I lived about 6 miles in Gratiot, as I remember, but I escaped. So.
Go ahead.
I think that that's where Harry Potter is coming from, is that the miracles and the strange things, the paranormal that happens and begs for explanations come, and the explanation comes from mysticism of different religions or of Wiccan or of native cultures that say, well, you know, Gaia or however you pronounce that, it comes from an unknown source that does seem to indicate intelligence. So to stand there and say there is no God, well, I guess it depends on your definition of God.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it, Mark. Thanks for joining us at 1-800-TALK-YES. All right. We got a guest in this hour, but there's a bunch of you online. Hold on. I'll get as many of you on before our guest as possible. And I will ask that you keep it short, though, because it's Melissa Rossi, and she's written a book called What Every American Should Know About the Rest of the World. She's real good. And it also shows us, hey, we got a lot to learn about the world in which we live. Be right back. Peter Werby, we're at 1-800-TALK-YES.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief. Better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. The Senate Commerce Committee voted yesterday to partially reverse a move by the FCC to deregulate the media industry. The Federal Communications Commission voted on June 2nd to relax rules governing media ownership, paving the way to a wave of media consolidation. But Congress could move to reverse the rule changes, though many critics worry that if House Republicans block such a move, the trend towards media monopoly will continue.
This could be very big in that the trend is going to be for corporations to try to own as many TV stations and the newspaper in a given market.
Wayne Countryman is a copy editor with the Baltimore Sun. His union is in a tough contract battle with the Tribune Company, a media conglomerate that Countryman fears is hoping to benefit from deregulation.
That means there'll be fewer reporters covering meetings, fewer editors working on their stories. So not only does that mean that there'll be fewer jobs in the long run, but also fewer people covering the news, fewer viewpoints?
Should the FCC's rule changes remain in effect, newspaper corporations like Tribune could, for the first time, purchase television stations and vice versa.
Germany's largest labor union is expanding a two-week low-level strike in the eastern part of the country. Manufacturing and engineering workers there, represented by IG Metall, say they're forced to work 38-hour weeks for the same amount of pay that their West German counterparts get for only working 35 hours. Until recently, the strike was confined to just one eastern state, but has now expanded to three, hitting factories in Berlin especially hard. An estimated 11,000 people are now walking picket lines, but no talks have been scheduled between the union and the consortium of companies who typically negotiate industry-wide contracts.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the time is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much, Barry McGuire from 1965. Eve of Destruction, of course, that song has no relevance to today, does it, whatsoever. All right, well, we're getting in hot water here. A lot of people being offended about criticism of organized religion. John writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He says, interesting how you can put forth a few fringe Christians as representative of Christianity. Although it serves to inflame, it is a highly inaccurate portrayal of mainstream Christianity. Yeah, like Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, all those guys on television, Falwell. Those are mainstream. Come on, man. The whole scandal in the Catholic Church. If you tried to paint the gay community, well, he's using analogies only work for the people making them. He says, take a break from the Christian bashing. It's unbecoming. He said, would you bash Jews, Muslims, and Buddhists? Jews and Muslims, yeah. Not Buddhists so much, at least. Hey, John, listen to this. I remember I read this. The Southern Baptist Convention denounced same-sex marriage and homosexuality at its annual meeting, and it said that it defended the right of evangelicals to proclaim their religion as the only path to salvation. It's the largest Protestant denomination in the United States. So these are a few fringe Christians? I don't think so. Here's Joe from New Jersey. Joe, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Just two quick comments. One of your previous callers was defining atheism, and I just wanted to clear it up. Atheism basically is just a lack of belief in a deity, period.
That's right. It.
And people throw all lots of other baggage along on top of atheism, but it's just lack of belief in a deity.
Well, I can...
Secondly, religion is a ancient view of the world around us. It's a pre-scientific view of the world around us, before there was science. And that's basically what religion is.
Well, I was going to say I frequently define myself as an atheist, but if people want to push me, I'd say, okay, I'm agnostic. You know, I don't know. Actually, it's a question that can never be answered except on the basis of faith, and I have no faith that any intelligent being ever created the planet. I was just out yesterday. I had a day off, and I was my wife and I and dog took this walk during this through this beautiful wooded area, and I was looking at flowers, and I was thinking, these people really think that God sat around and said, okay, I'm going to make this look like this today. I mean, if he had a lot of time on his hand, and if he's God, and he's omniscient and omnipotent and all that, I guess he could, but it doesn't seem to make a bit of sense. And it's nothing that really animates my imagination even to find out. But we do know that most organized religions have a hideous history to the kind of oppression that they have been linked to because of their connection to the political state. And it's the repository of intolerance, and for every good, decent Christian, Jew, and Muslim I know, there are people, and probably lots more of them, that are punitive, intolerant, on and on. Hey, Joe, actually, I have my guest on the line, so I want to get to her, but I want to thank you for chiming in.
Thank you, Peter, and I just want to say happy belated birthday.
All right, thank you very much.
Take
care. I didn't say that it was my birthday yesterday, because I actually, I got, I guess... Curtis Ellis did, who will be on the show next hour. But thanks to all of you who sent in birthday greetings. Here's Melissa Rossi, M.L. Rossi, and she's written a wonderful book called What Every American Should Know About the Rest of the World, Your Guide to Today's Hotspots, Hotshots, and Incendiary Issues, and it's published by Plume. Melissa Rossi, welcome to the Peter Werby Show.
Hi, Peter. Happy to be here.
Well, what a book. A look at 60 countries. And this is on the back. Our friend Greg Palast, who's written The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, says that snot-nosed Europeans think we Americans are dumber than bricks just because we don't know Zimbabwe from Zinfandel. But most of us don't, do we?
I think it's hard to keep up, you know, and we're coming from a situation where our schools haven't really taught us geography, and then our media moves so quickly, we're getting pummeled and pelted with these names and places and history, so it's just hard to keep up. And even if you're watching the news all the time, it's things flying in one ear and out the other. So that's why I sat down and wrote this book that's sort of the cliff notes to the world and to the things that are in the news and things I think are really important to know, and tried to make it lively and broke it into boxes and factoids and just tried to make it all accessible.
Well, I think you've done an excellent job of that, but I also think you're trying to be nice. I mean, Americans, I mean, you, from the biography of you, that you've lived in Europe for a long time, and, I mean, who seems to know more about the world, for instance, Europeans or Americans?
Okay, you're right. I was trying to be diplomatic there. They think we're stupid. every single day, I've lived all over Europe, somebody comes up to me and says, can you explain to me why the people of the richest, most powerful country, the richest, most powerful people in the world, don't get what's going on in the world, and they don't know the names, and they don't have the history? And yes, they really regard us as very, very nice, actually, friendly people, but, you know, sort of dumb. But there's a reason. I mean, the Europeans have this, you know, the Western Europeans at least have that colonial history, so they were going all over the world, starting new countries and colonies, and they also travel like fiends, and so they go to Africa or small islands off of India or to Indonesia, just places that we would never dream of going. You know, where do we go? Disney World.
Well, unless you're that's another subject. We were being accused of Christian bashing. I just noticed that one of Bush's nominees. It's funny that you mentioned that was purposely avoided going to Disney World on Gay Day. He made a real point of that. But that maybe that's neither here nor there.
I just purposely avoid going to Disney World. I find it frightening. But I mean, and I'm not saying all Americans go to Disney World, but we tend to. I mean, only 10% of Americans have passports.
I find that astounding.
Yeah, and so what do they do with those passports? A lot of times they go and see the Eiffel Tower, or you know, go to Florence, and hey, that's the world. I mean, there's a lot of the world that isn't covered in a brief, you know, week in Europe.
Well, I have to say, I have a passport, and so does my wife, and we use it almost exclusively for identification when we fly and when we go 10 miles south of here and go to Windsor, Ontario. So, but you know, they're also how much do they cost now? $60.
Yeah, I think the last time, something like that. But, yeah. You know, it's a worthwhile investment. I really encourage people to travel. You know, just travel. Or if you can't travel, then talk to people that are in your town that are from different places and ask them about their life experiences. I mean, it's so important for us to have this interchange going on and to open our eyes up to, you know, the fact that we are just one country in the world and we're bullying the world. Or that's how they're perceiving it.
Well, M.L. Rossi, I'm saying M.L. That sounds so official. I like that. Melissa.
You can call me Melissa.
Okay, Melissa. Your book, What Every American Should Know About the Rest of the World, it's not just a travelogue. It actually sets – it would be a good book to read if as a companion to the wave of information we get every day, because it's not a travelogue, is it?
No, it's – in, you know, it's part vocabulary, it's part, you know, anything amusing or entertaining I could find out about a culture. I was putting in that in there too. There's a whole section on issues and the top issues, one of which of course is that the United States and Western Europe, they're all overarming the world. I mean, this is insane what we're doing. And then these arms end up being used against us or against our interests. So there's issues in there. I have the big picture where I'm breaking it down continent by continent. So it's a mixture of of facts that you need to have at your hand, but we don't have memorized yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, there has to be political choices. I mean, people say, I suspect you will say, I tried to be objective. But even when you try to be objective, you're probably going to get criticism that you were too this or too that or too pro this or too anti that. Have you found that at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible. You can never have an objective view on anything, you know. What I tried to do is in situations where I thought in the United States only one side was being reported, I made sure that I was including the other side, too. For instance, the Israeli-Palestinian situation. I think that the plight of the Palestinians is often ignored. And the situations that have created the violence and make groups like Hamas appealing, you know, we're not aware of them. The media tends to ignore that. And so I was talking about, like, how Hamas actually gives out social services, gives out food, money. They run the clinics. They have the soccer clubs, you know. And then they also hire the kids and train them to be suicide bombers too. Hmm. You know. So what I found out doing this book is we tend to look at things as black and white and try and simplify it, but it's so many grays.
Sure. Well, if you think about the different perceptions of a group like Hamas, to some people, they're heroic resistance fighters and martyrs to an important cause. And, of course, to others, they're, you know, hideous terrorists. So, I mean, how one can ever, I mean, you know, all of us have our own values. But unfortunately, what happens is that our values are, how would you say, I guess manipulated. I'm trying to see a more neutral word, but manipulated by where we get our information from, what we call in this broadcast the medium, not the media. There's not a plurality of voices here. And I think that's one of the values of the book. Melissa, you didn't go to all these countries, right?
Oh, no. You know what I realized? There are 191 countries that National Geographic recognizes. And I had a very limited time to do this book. So I couldn't even have stopped in the capitals and run out to the nearest car. Starbucks. You know, I didn't have time to do that. So no, I mean, it's where I've lived is sort of places in Europe. But you know, what I was trying to do is bring in that international perspective. And one thing I should jump in with right now is I think it's so important to keep on what you were saying, keep on getting information from different sources. And of course, the BBC is fantastic, and the Economist is fantastic. But I have a site that you can go and look at these issues and try and get things from different world perspectives, different countries' media, and that site.
Mm-hmm, sure. What is it?
Is www.armchairdiplomat.com. So I try to hook you up with one click. You can see, oh, here's what Indonesia is saying about this. This is how it's being reported in Africa. Here's what Israel is saying. Here's what the Palestinian papers are saying.
Well, I think your book is so valuable that, for instance, if something began to happen, let me see. I'm trying to think of a country I don't know very much about, the stands, like Kazakhstan and what have you, and something began to go down there, I would go right to page 171 and start reading about it get kind of an idea that these countries that with our system of communication, they just kind of pop out of, Zeus's head? Was that where they went? You know, it's like they never existed before, and suddenly they, you know, they're part of this immediate crisis without ever having the slightest clue sometimes where they even are on the planet.
Yeah, and it goes back to our schools and our media, too, that, you know, just keeps on jumping around from here to there. But like Aceh, there's been a lot of violence happening in Aceh, which is on the island of Sumatra, which is in Indonesia. You know, and for the longest time, I mean, I have been like everybody else. It's like, oh, I love Sumatran coffee. Now, where is Sumatra? You know, who knows? But it is part of Indonesia, which is the world's biggest island chain, and there's going to be a lot of action happening there. It has it's the country with the most Muslims, and there's a lot of separatist movements going on there. So, you know, be sure and look at that area, Indonesia. Look at the Caspian Sea area. There's all kinds of oil battles, pipelines going through there. Five countries battling for that territory, including Iran. So, you know, that's another thing that makes it interesting with what the U.S. is doing with Iran. It's like, mm-hmm. Is this about real estate? We want to control the Caspian Sea area? That's what the Ayatollah in Iran has said, and, you know, he may be right.
Now, Melissa Rossi, if you wrote about 60 countries, you've lived in Europe, so you've been to a number of the European countries, but much of it you did, as you said, did intense research. What country would you like to go to that you haven't been, and what country that you wrote about would you make sure that you never went to?
Oh, boy. There's so many. I mean, I really want to go to Iran. I want to go to Turkey. I want to go to Jordan. I almost went to Jordan on several occasions, but anyway, I have not been there. I'm just dying to go to all three of those. I think their cultures are fascinating. The lay of the land. I mean, just the geography, the geological features are really great there. Right now, because I think there's going to be some action in Indonesia, I really want to go to Indonesia, but I'm not going to go there right now. I definitely would not go to Colombia, kidnapping capital of the world.
Yeah.
Where was it? Robert Young Pelton just got snatched there when he was, you know, wandering through the Darien Gap. I mean, what an idiot. But, you know, Colombia, just I think everybody should just avoid that right now.
You know, actually, interestingly, a friend of mine, and I'm going to his and his bride's wedding this Saturday, a week from Saturday. She's Colombian, and we were all worried beyond belief, but he went there and back without incident, although I have to agree with you, Melissa. I don't think Colombia is not real high on my list of places to visit.
No, I mean, and I interviewed people from Colombia, and they were trying to get all their friends and family out because they said it is so insane. I mean, it's so hard to tell who a white hat is around there. But, you know, the paramilitaries are really out of control. Those are the right-wing ones that were originally the security guards hired to protect the rich who kept on being kidnapped by FARC and the other left-wing rebels. I mean, it's just a bloody mess. So, you know, and remember the day that Uribe came into office in Bogota, there were mortar attacks on the presidential palace. I mean,
wow.
It's a mess.
I don't think we'll go there. Hey, thank you so much for being with us. Our guest is Melissa Rossi. It's R-O-S-S-I. And her book is What Every American Should Know About the Rest of the World, Your Guide to Today's Hotspots, Hotshots, and Incendiary Issues. It's available from Plume. It'll be at all bookstores. And once again, your website?
It's www.armchairdiplomat.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.
Good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Bye now.
Bye.
We're talking with Melissa, and we've talked, of course, throughout this broadcast in the weeks ahead of this terrible decision by the Federal Communications Commission, part of the racket, right? The racket is now what rules our nation lock, stock, and barrel. Government is always, to some extent, a racket. It's always, since it emerged 4,000 years ago, it was a racket. In fact, what's developed over the last 300 years is some attempt to de-racketize it, to actually make government serve the people rather than solely being an instrument for protection of wealth and power and privilege of a wealthy elite. George W. Bush has totally reversed that process. And, you know, it's death of a thousand cuts. It's not going to be, you know, like a immediate dictatorship. More about that when we come back. Peter Werby with you at 1-800-TALK-YES.
Can I keep her safe when she always seems to be running away from me? It used to be so much easier to find solutions to her problems. Now, I don't even understand the questions, let alone have any answers.
The Girls and Boys Town National Hotline can help you find those answers. We've been working with teenagers for over 50 years and would like to share what we've learned about parenting. Call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3000.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to Nebraska.
How you doing? We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys are having way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, I actually, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. The only reason I'm laughing, I'm looking at our chat room. It's kind of devolved down into sexual bantering. That's right. News Calliope says, I ain't no fortunate son. Creedence Clearwater Revival, CCR, yeah. But anyways, you want to get into the IE chat room. It is IE AmericaRadio.com, IEAmericaRadio.com. Then you got to go over to the left and go to Sitemap, S-I-T-E, Sitemap, and then you'll see where it says chat, and you can go into it from there. I just walked into our engineer person kind of office and said, can we move that right up to the front page where it used to be? And he said, yeah. Now, here's what's happening. This is good news. The Senate is actually moving today to begin the process of reversing the recent decision by the FCC to loosen media ownership rules. And this is all part of the racket to totally control the stream of information. The Bush administration is so corrupt so filled with, we expect now to just have an avalanche of lies, but it's also stocked with the sons and daughters, or I guess what, the daughter of Chief Justice Rehnquist got bounced out of government. Why she wasn't indicted, that's a whole other story. But anyways, you've got Michael Powell, the son of Colin Powell, as the head of the FCC. So there is a built-in conflict of interest there. Powell presides over a set of regulations that would allow the further, if you can imagine this, the further concentration of information in this country. So there'll be nothing like information. It will solely be message. What will the message be? It will be the message that the people generating it want. And what will that message be? The people ruling us are good and have our best interests in mind. Alternate voices will not be heard. Of course, the Bush administration has endorsed the new media ownership rules. Why wouldn't they? Who said this? What the FCC did is completely wrong. That was Republican Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson. That's right. Who's trying to save these big conglomerates? Democratic Senator John Breaux. What's the matter with people like that? We got another hour, so I hope you'll stay with us. Maybe we should give religion a break, right? It doesn't seem to make us too happy. But there's lots of other subjects. I want to talk more about the racket. That's what runs this country now, the racket. I'm Peter Werby, 1-800-TALK-YES.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. Some 3,200 acres have been blackened by a wildfire in southern Arizona that's also forced the evacuation of 500 people. The blaze tore through a resort town outside of Tucson. The fire is out of control and expected to grow, in part due to high winds. Hundreds of buildings have been destroyed or damaged. The United States has lost almost one American soldier every day in Iraq since major combat operations there were declared over. Rhode Island Democratic Senator Jack Reed says he always thought the situation after the war would be unsettling and unpredictable, and the U.S. faces a difficult situation.
We are stuck over there, to be blunt, that we cannot turn back now, having committed ourselves to this operation.
Reed says the reconstruction of the post-Saddam Iraq will be time-consuming and expensive, and he says, unfortunately, the situation will claim the lives of more young Americans. The path to peace in the Middle East will involve difficult decisions and hard steps ahead. That's the assessment of Secretary of State Colin Powell, who concluded separate meetings with the prime ministers of Israel and the Palestinian Authority today. Muslims will have their annual convention in Philadelphia over Independence Day weekend.
The Islamic Circle of North America's 28th annual convention is expected to bring 15,000 Muslims to Philadelphia over the July 4th weekend. Dr. Talat Satan is the emir of the Islamic Circle of North America. He says Muslims are peace-loving people, and that part of their life will be highlighted at the convention.
We feel that this convention will be a reminder to the American people in general where we are and how far have we drifted from our ideals.
Tom McDonald, Philadelphia.
Human tissue and hair have been found on the car windshield of a Phoenix Catholic bishop accused in a weekend hit and run. A report in the Arizona Republic says blood spatters were discovered on the roof of Bishop Thomas O'Brien's car. He resigned his post after his arrest in the fatal incident. More in a moment.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it, because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor. Because a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
The IRS is demanding one of the nation's largest law firms to disclose the names of 600 wealthy clients who bought tax shelters considered abusive. But the Texas-based firm of Jenkins and Gilchrist refuses to comply. The firm says it did not sell tax shelters, but merely provided advice. The New York Times cites a senior lawyer at the IRS as saying the shelters allowed taxpayers to fabricate a minimum of $2.4 billion of deductions in order to reduce their taxable profits. More after this.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
So, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
The FDA says minors should refrain from using the antidepressant Paxil due to a possible increased risk of suicidal impulses. New clinical trials indicate the potential for suicidal behavior is higher among patients under the age of 18. The FDA statement comes more than a week after British regulators issued similar precautions. The drug manufacturer claims no suicides were reported in their clinical trials. Although the worst of the monkeypox outbreak may be over, the Centers for Disease Control wants the owners of exotic pets to be vigilant for signs of the rash-like illness that sickened 87 people in six Midwestern states. For the first time ever, the number of DVD rentals has topped videotape rentals. The Video Software Dealers Association says people rented 28.2 million DVDs in the week ending June 15th, a million more than the number of VHS rentals. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Does your car sound like the Clydesdales in Fast Forward? The problem could be unhealthy joints. No, not the horses, your cars. When we come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked.
I was also skeptical at first until we tested six tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com.
That clacking could be a sign of old age in your car's CV or constant velocity joints. These flexible joints allow drive shafts and axles to steer cars smoothly. But if they don't function properly, axles could freeze up or even fall off. How do you recognize faulty CV joints? Hopping and clicking when turning and clunking when accelerating are classic signs. And if you can create these noises by putting your car in reverse and backing in a circle, your CV joints are really aching. So communicate these symptoms to your technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and welcome to our third and final hour. Ooh, just as I'm looking at the computer screen, what I feared was going to happen, in fact, did happen. Had all these emails up, maybe about 8 or 10 of them, that I was going to read on the air throughout this hour, because they're talking about all the subjects we've been bringing up over the last 2 hours, and all of a sudden, do one of those things, your eye explore or something, or just create an error, and whew, they all got wiped out. Well, I know a lot of you write in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com in order that I read them or sections of them. If they're long, probably only sections of them. So I don't know what to say. You can still go, by the way, to ieamericaradio.com, ieamericaradio.com. Go to sitemap, S-I-T-E, sitemap on the left, and go down to where it says chat, and you get into the IE America Network chat room. No, well, that's actually bumming me out because I wanted to, I wanted to read your remarks. Oh well, okay. Get over it, Pete. Right, Curtis Ellis. Later in the hour, he is the IE America Entertainment and Culture correspondent, and we're going to talk about the Hulk. We're going to talk about Harry Potter. You know, those are all, you know, nothing. You know, those are the issues that we care about, right? But the good news I started to say at the end of the hour is that the Senate is going to reverse the recent decision by the corrupt Federal Communications Commission, led by the son of Colin Powell. So here's a man, Colin Powell, part of the core of the racket, the center of the racket that's dominating America. And his son then makes it easier for these corporations to make more money by consolidation, and even more important to them, to the racket, is that it will make for a less and less opportunity for alternate voices. So Bush administration way in support of that. The Republican-dominated House, they might be a little tougher in going along with it. One provision of the bill would go beyond reinstating the previous ownership rules and force a number of large radio companies like Clear Channel Communications, to divest themselves of some of their stations. And that's what should happen. Remember when they broke up the Bell telephone because they said it was this huge monopoly? Well, hello, isn't Clear Channel able to control now approaching 1,300 radio stations? It's part of the racket. And I was saying that government arose as a racket. There was no golden age of government. It's not like we can say, well, back, 10,000 years before Christ, it was a good thing, or 500 years ago, or, whatever. It mostly was a racket. It arose exclusively to protect this was a juncture in history. People mostly lived a life of equality. And yet when people began to amass wealth that was in contradiction of the way people lived, if you live like equals, then suddenly one person not only has more money but because of his wealth, he's demanding that he tell other people what to do in an absolutely undemocratic manner. Well, most other people are going to say, hey, man, shove it. So you got to do two things. First off, you don't want to always depend on armed force. Ultimately, the political state is that, armed force. It's nothing if it's not a body of armed men. Because, you could have the kind of situation where a politician could say, all right, we're passing a law. And you say, stuff it. Well, then they got to call it the cops or the army. So at its root, the political state is an instrument of coercion. We're hoping, and I use we, I mean many of you, I'm a little suspicious of our ability to do it, to transform that institution that has mostly, throughout history, maybe like 98% of the time, been an instrument of oppression and of assault on the common people on behalf of the wealthy and the powerful, that we can transform it into something that actually is useful to the common people. And that's what the democratic revolutions were all about, beginning in the 17th century, through ours and the French Revolution, the revolutions in Europe in the 19th century. Now, the Bush administration, though, has completely reversed this. It is going back to where government is a complete 100% total racket, that it leaves nothing for the commoners, the peasants, the serfs, or as we call them in modern society, the middle class and the working class, get nothing. We have a permanent warfare state. And again, this is not like this happened in 2001. We were always on a permanent war economy since 1942, the first quarter of 1942. But at least there was the idea that there had to be something left over for a safety net, for social services. Now it's going to be permanent warfare. What, in fact, who was it? Oh, yeah, Harvey Wasserman, our guest in the first hour. What were the two things that he said? Permanent warfare, can't remember the second one, and oppressing any dissenting opinion. Now, one of the ways that you do that, you don't send in the cops or the troops to destroy an opposition press. What you do is you have your corporate buddies own them all. And when you're going to bring about a war that's absolutely unnecessary and absolutely illegal based on this web of blatant lies, you have your pals that own the medium pronounce your message. It's not about information. If you had information, if there was full information available to the American people, there never would have been a war against Iraq. Or not a war. It wasn't really a war. It was an invasion, an occupation. Long planned, nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. Nobody in those upper echelon of government believed it for a second. They're bald-faced liars. This is strategy. They have very clear understanding of the world and what makes it tick and what they want for an American empire. And you can say, well, cool. We'll have an empire, and we'll get wealthy. Well, a lot of home countries have gotten wealthy on empire. Ultimately, though, it crashes. There's always imperial overreach, and too much is spent on military, and the empire begins to decline. The problem is, though, that this, if you look at this economy, if you look at the level of poverty in this country, if you look at the level of people struggling, if you look at the level of all of so many economic indicators, this is an empire that's already in trouble at home. And one of the things is that the looting that's going on of, that's interesting. Most colonial imperial regimes that had colonies, they would loot the colonies. That's how England and Spain and France and, you know, all those other countries, that's how they got wealth at home. They destroyed the indigenous societies and they looted them. The only problem is the United States, I mean, it does some looting of other parts of the world and exploitation, but mostly it's looting the American people. So we, the taxpayer, we're getting looted in order to finance this huge warfare state that's absolutely unnecessary. And running it ideologically are these far right-wing kooks that actually have been elevated from the fringe of society to the government. So this is why I say it's like completely a racket. And here's, I mean, I just have piles of stuff. You know, I print out these stories from the computer and then I write on it, you know, what they are. The economy, Iraq, Frankenfood, you know, stuff like that. This is the racket. It's just page after page after page. I mentioned this earlier. For the 2004 Greedy Oil Party convention in New York City, again, I mean, even this is a lie and a manipulation. You know, they're going to have it in New York City because that's September 11th, and Bush is going to try to wrap himself in the mantle of the death and destruction of New Yorkers. Really repulsive. Anyways, I was talking to Harvey Wasserman in the first hour. He's the editor of the Columbus Free Press. You can go to freepress.org. And I said, what terrible writing Randall Archibald puts in there, reaching out. I mean, I like that, you know, we're going to reach out to the African-American community. We're going to reach out to, and they're always reaching out. I mean, if you're a writer, make sure you never use that word, that phrase again. You know, read Orwell instead about the language. Anyways, reaching out to some of New York's highest profile millionaires and billionaires, including Mayor Richard R. Bloomberg, organizers of the Republican National Convention, said yesterday that they had raised nearly all the money they needed to stage the event. I like that, stage the event next year. In contrast to past convention, in which organizers have often struggled up to the last minute and beyond to raise money, organizers of the New York City convention said they had received financial commitments of about $60 million from several wealthy residents and corporate chiefs with 15 months left to go before the opening gavel strikes. Now, think about this. In this city that has intense pockets of poverty, there's probably like 100,000 homeless people in New York City alone. You know, that may be a little, I don't know, thousands of, let's do that, I don't want to exaggerate, thousands of homeless people. There are men that have so much wealth, extra wealth, as you go to them and you say, we need several million to put on the Greedy Oil Party convention. Can we count on you for 7 million? Sure, man. Here, let me write you a check. This speaks so dramatically and so eloquently to the maldistribution of wealth in this country that if a nation and a culture had respect for everybody within it, rather than thinking these people don't count because they're poor, these people don't count because they're workers, these people are just there to be fleeced, they're the middle class, they identify with us very frequently because we wear ties just like they do, but most of these middle class people are too dumb to realize that we're fleecing them, we're stealing from them, we're looting the wealth that they produce. So we wind up to be millionaires and billionaires, and when you need several million dollars, totaling up to $91 million to put on this obscene manipulative spectacle called the Republican National Convention, this would be like having a party in a graveyard in many ways. And I'm not saying New York City is a graveyard, but it's like disrespecting those that died on September 11th. Those that suffered, those that still bear the scars, we're going to use you as political props. These Republicans are beneath contempt. I hope they get the rapture soon. Get rid of these creeps. Suck them all up immediately, please. Now, that figure is just $4 million short of what the New York City Host Committee has agreed to raise and is several months ahead of schedule of fundraising goals spelled out in the agreement with the National, the Republican National Committee. So I don't know if I'm reading this right. City's going to pick up $27 million in costs related to police, fire, and emergency services. They're going to, the budget for the convention is $91 million. The host committee has promised to raise $64 million to pay such expenses as renting the Madison Square Garden, building a bridge between the garden and the post office across 8th Avenue, transporting delegates around town, building a podium, and buying an entrance carpet. Hey, roll out the red carpet. This is corrupt, folks. This is a racket of the first magnitude. This is some authoritarian medieval kingdom. We still have the facade of democracy. Oh, we're going to get to vote next November, a year from November, right? But by that time, you know, I'm sure there'll be another terrorist event or Bush will decide to take out. You know, they're not going to take out the Iran nuke plants right away. They'll do that in, I don't know, right before or right after the convention in New York City. Are there, you know, are there Republicans, conservatives out there that don't think this is obscene, that they're going to spend $91 million on this spectacle in a city that needs money for its poor, its working people, and average middle-class people? I don't know. Give me a shout. Any way to justify it? 1-800-TALK-YES. Well, the Democrats are going to do it, too. I don't think they're going to raise $91 million. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them,
Who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
If you abandon your country, moving your home base to another land in order to dodge paying the taxes you owe to America, would you still have the chutzpah to expect U.S. taxpayers to finance you? No? Well, that's probably because your parents raised you better, or because you're a loyal American, or maybe it's because you're not an arrogant, avaricious global greedhead like Accenture or Ingersoll Rand. They are among dozens of U.S. firms that have shifted their official corporate headquarters to offshore tax havens like Bermuda, using a loophole that allows them to skip out on some $4 billion a year on U.S. taxes they owe, yet then turn around and bill us taxpayers for $1 billion worth of government work. For example, Accenture, the huge consulting firm that was created by the Sharpies that ran the scandal-ridden Arthur Andersen accounting firm, lists its corporate address as Bermuda so it can shirk federal income taxes even though it makes most of its money here. Accenture wants all of the benefits of citizenship in the good old USA, but without having to pay its way. That's shameful enough, but then these leeches want our government to provide business for them. Accenture grabbed $662 million in federal contracts last year alone. If they're skipping out on paying their taxes, why should a dime of your and my tax money go to them? Twice, the U.S. Senate has passed bills saying no more federal contracts should go to these corporate deadbeats. But twice, the Bushites and the House leaders have killed the bills. The runaway corporations not only are major campaign donors to the GOP, but they've also hired a powerhouse lobbying team that includes two former senators and two former House members who were top committee chairmen. This is Jim Hightower saying, instead of paying a bunch of Gucci-clad lobbyists, they should pay their taxes to our country. Representative Richard Neal has a bill to bring these tax dodgers home. To back it, call Neal's office, 202-225-5601.
Back to the show. It's Peter Werby. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
All right, what do you think about my contention that America's just turned into a 100% racket led by George W. Bush? It's a mob, a gang. What does Mike Malloy call them? The Bush crime family. And for the 2004 convention, the Grand Oil Party raising $91 million. And let's see, this was a little bit ago. Could I have a date on this, please? I can't read. It was a few days ago. It was last Wednesday, yeah, so it was the 18th. Headlining the first event of his 2004 campaign for re-election. It's hard for me to say this, but this is what it says here. President Bush set in motion a two-week cross-country fundraising push that advisors expect will bring in as much as all nine Democratic presidential campaigns collected in this year's first 3 months. Bush said Tuesday, your support is going to help us achieve a strong nationwide victory. Now, who was he talking to? It was a $3.5 million reception attended by about 1,400 lawyers, lobbyists, and others. You know, they're always bashing the lawyers and lobbyists. Well, that's who's paying the money. The campaign's premier event at a Washington hotel will be followed by more fundraising Friday at a hotel near Atlanta. Some of you may want to go out to greet him, by the way. I know there's a big July 4th demonstration against George W. Bush in Philadelphia. I'll have information on that on my website by Monday. You can go to Peter Werby, PeterWerbe.com. So it's going all over the country, even coming here to Detroit. Bush's aggressive collecting of money is needed to counter, quote, the nine Democrats who spend all of their time saying negative things about the president. That's Ari Fleischer. I thought he was quitting. Get out of here, man. Tuesday's guests donated $2,000 apiece, as did plenty more who didn't show up for the hot dogs, hamburgers, and nachos. Robin Engel. What a great name. Robin Engel, A-N-G-L-E, a consultant from Washington-based Capital Partnership, said, it's the best $2,000 hamburger I ever had. Now, why in the world would he say that? Other than realizing that it's an investment, that it's a corporate giveaway to this crime group that runs things. One of the co-chairmen for Tuesday's event, that Bush was, talking about was Mitchell Delk, a lobbyist for Freddie Mac, a huge government-sponsored mortgage market company beset by accounting problems and now under investigation by the Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission. So this is the co-host, right? This is the co-chairman of this, I don't even know. Here's Ed calling in from New Jersey. Ed, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, Peter. I'm just calling in to let everyone know that the White House is hosting this kind of Ask the White House session online where they have a host come in and answer different questions that you submit to them.
Really?
You can go on. It's right on the whitehouse.gov site. But it lasts from 4:30 until 5. What if we all got on there and started asking them about Bush and the weapons of mass destruction?
You mean in 3 minutes it's going to start?
In 3 minutes.
Wow. Okay, so that's, what is it, government?
Go to whitehouse.gov.
Whitehouse.gov.
Right, and it's /ask.
Okay. And you can also, when you're through with that, if you're disgusted enough by that, you can go to whitehouse.org.
Oh, yeah.
As well. Don't go to whitehouse.com. It's a porn site.
Right.
Yeah, right. We want to warn people from that.
All right.
All right, Ed, thank you.
Sure thing.
Maybe we will try to do that at the same time we are talking to Curtis Ellis, who's going to be with us in a minute. Joe from Brookings, Oregon. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to quickly talk about the major school scandal down in Houston, Texas. It should be getting a lot more attention than it has. There was a school district down in Houston, Texas, where the Secretary of Education, Rod Page, used to be the superintendent down there.
Right.
Yeah, there was a school that down in Houston that claimed to have a 0% dropout rate, and what they were doing was making these students who were dropping out sign a piece of paper saying that they were transferring to another school. So it turns out that the dropout rate was about 50%.
Wow. Well, thanks for the information. I appreciate it. Curtis Ellis is next on the Peter Werby Show. We're going to talk about the Hulk. We're going to talk about Harry Potter. And what? Well, that's something for Curtis. I'll remember it during our break. I'm Peter Werby. I'm at 1-800-TALK-YES. Please stay with us.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work? To a mall? To the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
A new office with the United Nations will help countries manage their water resources through cooperation. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A lot of the world's large rivers pass through more than one country on their way to the sea. For example, the Columbia River starts on the west slope of the Rocky Mountains in Canada, but it passes through the northwestern United States before it reaches the Pacific Ocean. Around the world, a total of 145 countries share rivers or aquifers with their neighbors. They have to work together to manage water use and to control floods and water pollution. The United Nations has created a new office to help them. It's called the Water Cooperation Facility, and Lena Salome is one of its coordinators. Salome says shared water resources can sometimes be a source of international tension.
There are mainly two issues. It's the quantity and the quality of the water. These are really the main issues that have to be taken into account when you are dealing with sharing or managing water resources between two users.
Salome says water is becoming scarce in many parts of the world. She says political scuffles over water are common, but armed conflict is not likely to break out. Salome says countries usually manage to settle water disputes peacefully, and she expects that trend to continue.
violence over water is really not rational. It is not viable economically. So our forecast is that nation states would really cooperate rather than create conflict over water.
Salome says the UN's Water Cooperation Facility will help countries work together to develop water management plans and to mediate disputes if they arise. Participation in the program is voluntary, and Salome says many countries have expressed interest in joining. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The Peter Werby Show.
My website, peterwerby.com. Somebody wrote in, and in fact, they called in to that 800 number, some right-wing nutball, and he's going, between every sentence, he says, anywho, you really suck, and anywho, your website looks like it was put together by a teenager.
Perhaps he's homophobic. Oh, my gosh.
Well, he did say something about it. He says, anywho, your photograph of you smiling, maybe one of your friends is tickling you, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my.
I didn't know what he meant. But, you know, and I thought I ought to try to make it a little more professional, right? But you know how ornery I actually am, right? And so I'm going to keep it like that. I'm going to have it this mess because what you're supposed to have is buttons.
Texture
screw
or something like that.
Screw them. That's what I said. I'm keeping it messy.
The Peter Werby Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Great deceivers, they'll fool you any way they can. They'll take away your rights, then call you an evil man.
Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers, whoa.
Great deceivers,
whoa, 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 whoa. Great deceivers.
They said they had compassion. They gave you a ration. The Bill of Rights, their passion. Your check, they be cashing. Ha ha! They fooled you again. It's a faith-based disgrace they got in place. Woo-hoo. And the planet, they're destroying it. Well, I hope you're enjoying it.
Ha ha! Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. The Great Deceivers, Bush, the Medium, the Racket. Peter Werby here with you, joined by Curtis Ellis, our culture and entertainment correspondent for the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Curtis.
Hey, Peter. It's so good to talk to you.
We haven't talked
in so long.
Do I ever work on Fridays?
No, you've got that new 4-day work week, which, isn't that part of the Democratic platform for 2004? Everyone gets a 4-day work week?
You know, don't you think they'd win if they had that?
Yeah, I think so.
Curtis Ellis sat in for me yesterday. I decided I wasn't going to keep taking Fridays off, so I took a Thursday off. Rich in Champaign, Illinois writes in, Curtis, do you moonlight as a motivational speaker or a boxing manager? I haven't been this riled up in a long time.
It was Reverend Curtis yesterday.
Was it?
You believe?
All right, if a candidate went up there and did even half the things you suggest and did it with even half of the passion that you have, we would crush this administration. Crush it!
Like the Hulk.
Like the Hulk. Yeah, listen, I know you're trying to segue into talking about what we're supposed to talk about.
I'm happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about, Peter. I really missed you. I really missed
you. I
know,
yeah.
We've been so long.
Let me just run this by you because I don't know if I'll have a chance any other time. But Chris writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I was talking with a friend today from the opposite coast that I rarely get to talk to. We were discussing Bush and this crazy war, and she mentioned to me about how her coworkers considered her un-American and unpatriotic for opposing it. This is the exact same reaction that I have received here. Who is to blame for this unbelievable perversion of the spirit of patriotism, what it means to be a free American. We must live in, I mean, do you ever get, I never get that.
Well, I don't. I live in New York City. We're like the communist menace here, the socialist enclave.
I guess. You know, they're, on July 4th, I just got some email. They said, we're having a peace contingent in the July 4th parade in the Huntington Woods, you know, suburban march. So, I mean, it's even like that. You know, on the 4th of July, you have a, you know, you have a peace contingent.
Well, one of the discussions we had yesterday on the air was, if somebody has a problem with you dissenting against the government, tell them they should go to China or Iran, where you're not allowed to dissent against
there
the government.
You go.
They are un-American. If they don't believe in dissent, they're un-American. They should, and I say, America, love it or leave it. If you don't like dissent, leave it.
You know what? I never understood why conservatives don't like these authoritarian countries. They have the kind of governments that they love.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about the Hulk. It's one of those films never occurred to me to go see. Should I?
You shouldn't.
Okay.
You shouldn't. No. Unless you're like the biggest Hulk fan in the world. You know, I grew up, I read Marvel Comics as a kid. I had a whole attic full of them, you know, everything. And so I do have a soft spot for the big green guy. And as a matter of fact, it's so weird. A couple nights ago, I was dreaming about the Hulk. I was dreaming because there was this other comic book, The Fantastic Four.
Right.
And the Thing and the Hulk would always battle. They'd always have these fights, you know. So I had a dream about the Thing hitting the Hulk over the head with an anvil. It's like, what? Where did that come from?
Yeah, was this before or after you saw the movie?
It was before I saw the movie.
Huh.
The movie's really long. It is 2 hours and 20 minutes long, and it's as big as the Hulk itself. That is like totally, totally too much in my book. They could have cut a half hour out.
Now, this is a remake. When was the one with Lou Ferrigno?
Oh, gosh. Was that in the 70s? It was 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
And it was a TV show, too.
Sure.
And Lou gets a cameo in this. He has a walk-on part. He plays a security guard, and he walks by, and the whole audience started clapping and laughing when he walked by.
That's like in the remake of The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Now, you remember that with Donald Sutherland?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Who in the 1950s version, the person that played the Sutherland role, he shows up. I think he's hit by a car.
Oh, really?
So that's funny. So then it gets so self-referential kind of loses kind of the quality that.
And this loses so much. I mean, it's very psychological. There's a lot of father and son and father and daughter thing going on here. It's like this intergenerational conflict. So here we are in New York.
Yeah.
Motorcycle down my street. I've got all my windows closed, double pane glass. And it's kind of muddy. See, because the Hulk is this guy. He's got a genetic modification that was passed on to him by his father, who is a scientist working for a military genetic program back in the 60s. So the military comes off as a real heavy here. One of the positives of this movie is you get to see the Hulk smash up a lot of U.S. military equipment.
Okay.
He doesn't kill any soldiers. He always shakes, like he picks up a tank, turns it upside down, shakes the soldiers out, and then destroys the tank.
Wow. So why didn't you like it?
Well, it starts out really slow, and I kind of like that part in a way. It's beautifully photographed. That's another positive. But it's very confusing because he's got a repressed memory. When the Hulk gets angry, he turns green. When Bruce Banner gets angry, he gets big and green and turns into the Hulk. And you don't know why he gets angry. You know he has some repressed memories. He's emotionally distant. But you don't know what that repressed memory is. They stretch that part out through the whole movie. And it's through flashbacks. You slowly discover what it is. And it's by the time you discover it, it's like, who cares?
Wow.
And Nick Nolte is the crazy father, is the mad scientist father who did experiments on himself with chemicals, which modified his genetic structure, which then got passed on to his son. I hope everybody's following this. But if you can imagine Nick Nolte conducting experiments on himself with chemicals, I know that's kind of a stretch, but he pulls it off. And He's a high point in the movie. Nick Nolte's great. He's really over the top, and it's really, it's he looks so destroyed.
He does. He looked so destroyed. And what was that last one? He was the remake of
that French film he was in.
He's developed as an excellent actor. I mean, he always was good, but he's really kind of coming into his own, even though he does look destroyed.
Yeah,
he plays now those roles because he looked.
Yeah,
it was a remake.
So ruined.
It was a remake of Frank the Gambler, which was a 1950s.
That's right. And it's The Good Thief is what it's called.
Yeah, The Good Thief. Excellent.
Which I liked very much.
You know what?
Highly recommend it.
You did, and you turned me onto it. But like Marilyn will always say, "Well, what do you know about this film?" And I'll say, "Curtis said it was good." And
did you see it and hated it?
No, he loved it.
Oh, good.
Hey,
okay.
this other film, Alex and Emma. That's not about Emma Goldman.
No, I.
And
wish.
Alexander Berkman.
That'd be great.
That'd
be a much
thought.
Better movie than the one they made.
Okay.
This is Kate Hudson and Luke Wilson. Luke Wilson is a novelist, and he's got terminal writer's block, and he also has commitment phobia, and he has to pay back a gambling debt, so he has to write his book in 3 days, and he's got blocks, so he advertises for a stenographer, and who shows up but Kate Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Rob Reiner directed this movie. I think he had a blindfold on, or I don't know what. He manages to make Kate Hudson unattractive, physically unattractive. There's absolutely no chemistry going on between these characters. This is like a big who cares. This has got to be one of the worst movies I have ever seen.
Now, they could have made a great movie about the life of Alexander Berkman and Emma Goldman.
Right.
The anarchist lovers. He, and a failed assassin, and she, this firebrand revolutionary called the most dangerous woman in America. Someone ought to do that.
Really, call Rob Reiner. He needs to make a good movie. This one stinks.
They could call this
political.
One Emma and Alex.
Right.
All right. As the premier blues DJ in Detroit, the late famous coachman, he called himself, said,
"Ooh,
he say we're talking about the blues." So we're talking about the blues on the IE America Radio Network. what is this? The Year of the Blues with Buddy Guy.
Well, the Year of the Blues, the Congress declared this the Year of the Blues.
Those squares?
I don't know. I think they did it. They must have done it a few years ago when Clinton was still in office. And what's going to happen is actually PBS is going to be running a series of one-hour documentaries, films. They're not straight documentaries. They're kind of impressionistic. Martin Scorsese is the executive producer, and they've got like Wim Wenders made one, and Scorsese made one, and they've got Spike Lee was supposed to make one, but he had to back out of the last minute. And they've got all Clint Eastwood directed one about the blues, which is America's greatest contribution to music, arguably. I mean, it is the mother music, the mother water of all music. Jazz, pop music, R&B, rock and roll, all came from the blues. Anyway, so they declared this the Year of the Blues. There's going to be this great PBS series coming out, and everywhere, I think it's a great opportunity to, if you're not familiar with the blues, to get yourself familiar with the blues. I'll be honest, 3 years ago, if you'd said blues to me, I would have said, oh, yeah, that's that music that all sounds alike, and
right.
I don't really like it that much.
I'm talking about my baby.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And
it's great stuff.
It is great stuff. It is. So there have been a number of concerts in New York, and I'm sure all over the place. If you look closely, and the one the other night, I saw Buddy Guy. If you get a chance to see Buddy Guy, he is amazing. Absolutely. Gosh.
You know what?
He's one of the last great living ones. You know, he's one of the original guys. He taught Jimi Hendrix his licks.
And
that's not an exaggeration.
He must be in his 70s.
He's got to be.
And I would describe him as powerful. I mean, that's a. I mean, he's wow. Hey,
he's spooky powerful. I mean, I don't know what he was on the other night. He was on something.
We know a lot of people from. I hate to break anybody's illusions or anything, but we have a lot of French friends. I mean, people are in France, and I know this one guy came over and he said, "You have the albums by Buddy Guy?" And I'm saying, "Who?" Buddy Guy, the blues man. I said, oh, Buddy Guy. He said, huh?
He's the greatest. He's got a new one out called Blues Singer. It's an acoustic blues CD. Yeah, that's his new one.
And Johnny Winter. What they used to call him? Is he the guy, the albino?
Yeah, he's the albino.
Or is that his brother?
both him and Edgar, they're both albinos, they're and they both lost a lawsuit. You know, they were they sued some cartoonist who'd made up some weird characters of albino worms that looked just called them the Autumn Brothers, and they said, "Oh, this is unfair. It's hurting our image." And the judge threw the whole thing out. Said, "Get a life."
Hey, this is from Ron. He wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He reminds me that it was Donald Sutherland as Dr. Matthew Bennell in the 1978. Was that long ago? 1978 version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and it was Kevin McCarthy in that role in the 1956 version, and also he had a cameo role 22 years later in that version. They're both great movies, but the 1956 version is better. It's much better because, you know, it's an anti-communist film. You know that?
Yeah.
He says, "I hope Curtis will mention the television show with Bill Bixby as David Banner." That means nothing to me. What does that mean?
Yeah, Bill Bixby played the Hulk before he turned green and became Mr. Farino.
Hey, before we run out of time, Curtis Ellis, you're going to have to explain this whole thing with the giveaway.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to simplify this whole darn thing. I was getting too complicated. But I got some copies of a great book I want to give away, and it's not the Harry Potter book, and it's not the Hillary Clinton book. It's, I guess... I think it's the best book this summer. Forget about those other two.
Okay.
Called The Latest Bombshell by Michelle Mitchell. I'm not going to do a big ad for the book. I talked about it yesterday, and I've talked about it before. It is a fun political novel, which is both politically incisive, and it's also a fun read. It's got a lot of style to it, and it's a page turner, and it's a quick read. And I've got a bunch of copies to give away, and if you want to get one, we'll announce it either next week or the week after. Just go to www.ieamericaradio.com, and on the homepage, there's a button that says, "Click here to win something from Curtis." It's okay. Very subtle. And you click there, and you get an email box, and you put in your name, put in your email address. On the subject line, put something like book giveaway or give me something, Curtis, or just, you know, something that we know what it is, that you're not just complaining about Mike Malloy or Peter Werby or something.
Right.
And that it has something to do with this book giveaway. And if you want to answer this question, you can, but you don't have to. The book is very funny because it refers to some real-life characters in Washington. And Michelle refers to a fresh-faced conservative commentator who is a noted fall-on-his-face drunk. Noted, of course, among the insiders in Washington. We don't know that this fresh-faced conservative commentator is a noted fall-on-his-face drunk. So if you want to take a stab at who you think that best describes, A, George Will, B, Tucker Carlson, C, Robert Novak, D, Ralph Reed, or make somebody up, that's fine. And there's no right answer. I just want to hear who you think is a fall-on-his-face drunk.
Okay.
And then we'll pick somebody and give away a book.
All right, so let me say, when you go to the ieamericaradio.com website, it took me a second because I'm kind of slow, but if you go over to the right, and the first thing under all the photographs, if you put your cursor on the photographs, you see who they are, but it says, "What do you think?" Then it says, "Entertainment News by Curtis Ellis," and right below that it says, "For a chance to win from Curtis, click here." I will do that, and I see now. We are looking forward to hearing what you have to say. I don't get this. How is this going to come
to you?
Well,
you just put in, you get an email form. You get an email message. So just put in your name.
Yeah.
On the subject line, put in book giveaway.
Give me a book.
And in the message area, say give me a book. And in the message area, put in your email address and put in a message saying I'd like to have a book. And I think George Will is a fall on his face drunk, or maybe he should be. Or, you know, just say whatever you want.
I'm curious to how many people are going to figure this out since I can't.
Oh, yeah, right. I know. This could be very dangerous. So if we get no responses by next week, what we'll do is we'll just say, call now and get a book, okay? How about that?
Send me a copy.
I will.
Curtis Ellis.
A fun book.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm back. I don't know. I did miss a few Fridays. I'm glad to be back and talking to you. And thanks for being with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too, Curtis. And thanks for all the tips on entertainment and culture. That's Curtis Ellis, our culture and entertainment correspondent here on the IE America Radio Network. You go to ieamericaradio.com and get all the info. I'm Peter Werby. Be right back with our final segment. Please join us. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Honey, why are you wallpapering?
Hmm?
I thought you needed to fix the lawnmower and a bunch of other stuff around here.
This isn't wallpaper. I'm just hanging up my to-do list. Have a lot on your list? Sears can get you through it more quickly by offering easy access to over 4.5 million parts. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME, click on Sears.com, or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find the right part for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Hello, James Carver here again to tell you about InPhone, a new enhanced directory service you get by dialing 888-411-1111. First blush, a lot of people say, Jimmy, that's way too many numbers to dial. Well, that dog won't hunt. No, it won't. Plug this number into your speed dial, and fella, you got one-button access to the most powerful information service ever. That's InPhone, 888-411-1111. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for a call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time. Followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 2 p.m. Then the Peter Werby Show turns up the heat a little bit from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7. Followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Who is Matt Fashaw?
The Mike Malloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to
go on. Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hello, this is John Densmore from The Doors, and you're listening to The Peter Werby Show.
1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
And the Doors, at least two of the members, and joined by two others, are going to be in the Detroit area out of what we used to call Pine Knob, now named after so many things are, after a corporation. I guess they settled their differences with Jim Morrison's family and also with the drummer, John Densmore, who can't play anymore. He was a guest on this program, and that's where we got that little sound clip from him. And he nixed selling one of the Doors songs to Cadillac. Now, all of a sudden, why can't I remember that? They have some Led Zeppelin tune that Cadillac uses. What, I play this when I, man, is that weird? I mean, I play it all the time on this Detroit rock station that I'm on Sunday. But in any event, they wanted to use Break On Through, which is the first song on the first Doors album. And John Densmore said, no, you know, you're not selling people's memories. You're not selling away, for 30 pounds of silver, a decade of importance to people. And I think it sent a lot of the other remaining Doors over the edge because he said, he told us that they had actually offered him enough money. What was his phrase? It kind of to take your breath away or something like that, even more dramatic. I don't think I have time for this one, but this is interesting. In USA Today, in the business section, Kevin Maney says that he's sure that George Bush meant to fall off his Segway. Remember that the other day? When was it? Saturday in Kennebunkport. I was in Kennebunkport, Maine, the same day that George W. Bush fell off of his Segway. Or was it Friday? Let me think. Friday it was, yeah. I was there. I didn't have anything to do with it. But he says, I'm sure of it. What we have here is a clever conspiracy, a preemptive strike to save the oil industry from a technology that could sap its power. Now, what he's talking about is that it's probably impossible. It's absolutely impossible to fall off of a Segway. And the Bushes being on these Segways could mean that people could get on these low energy consumption vehicles, and that would cut into his, you know, Bush's corporate paymasters. I don't even know if there's paymasters, right? He's part of it all. The first U.S. president to try a Segway supposedly forgot to turn it on, so the gyroscopic stabilizers couldn't automatically balance him. But maybe Bush wanted to fall. Maybe he understands in a way few do that society is on the verge of a debate that could mold the future of transportation, much like the debate 100 years ago when cars first came about. I don't know. Maybe you don't have time to explore this now, but the conspiracies are deep, my friend. But the truth is out there. All right, weekend time. Thank you so much for being part of the broadcast. I'll be back on Monday. Peter Werby saying, have a wonderful weekend.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamerica.com.